Now let's listen into the interview with Botswana.
All right, so that was the one of the only news clips right there that I could find of the event that was still on the online. And it was on this, in the super lowest quality ever.
Is your time. Very good morning to you, and thank you so much for being with us.
Paul, these aerial shots, did you get them, like, on the second trip, or you even got them on the first trip?
Yeah, I got them on the second trip. I went back there with Shane and got a bunch of drone shots and stuff like that. So, yeah, I got it on the second trip.
That drone shot, you remember taking that drone shot, Paul, where we pulled up in that field?
Yeah, so all the drone shots were extremely stressful because when we arrived in the airport, they said, like, no flying the drone. When they saw the drone, they're like, no, if you fly the drone, we will catch you and fine you and then confiscate the drone.
So, Shane, can you explain how confident you were during this time?
Yeah.
Not very confident at all. Because we would pull up, in that particular opening scene there, that drone shot, that was, like, filmed on, like, a Sunday, and there was, like, all the city was closed. So we thought, well, it'd be safe. So we went to this field, and they flew the drone. And as soon as we flew the drone, people came out of the buildings, and they were, like, pointing at it, and people just came out of nowhere. So it was pretty intense. All the drone shots were intense, actually.
Yeah, they were not fun. But this opening scene with Pastor, I really want you to kind of explain what was going through your head at this point of the interview, kind of before we knew about. I mean, we were thinking this was going to be great, right? Before they showed up, and then what kind of went through your mind, Pastor?
Yeah, I mean, when we first got to the country, we actually were trying to set up interviews with TV and radio, and people weren't really getting back to us. And then they showed up at the service on Sunday night and set up this interview for Tuesday morning. And I was suffering from some really bad jet lag. So I had only slept very little for like several nights leading up to this interview. And then I remember I looked over at Paul on that Tuesday morning. I was like, hey, give me a cup of that coffee that you're drinking. And he's just like, what? You know, what in the world? That never happens. Because he's never seen me drink coffee before. So I drank a bunch of coffee before that interview. So part of this interview is the coffee talking. That's my excuse.
Yeah. Yeah, that was – I was shocked when you said give me some of that.
The guy on the right what now?
The guy in the –
who's that guy on the right? He doesn't say anything. You've got 9 kids.
Oh, the guy with the red shirt?
Yeah, we edited him out of the film because he's just an idiot.
Well, he's a literal homo.
Yeah.
And he's
Yeah, he's the leader of the homo organization in Botswana.
He didn't make any good points. It was completely pointless to put him in. He's just an idiot.
He has a reprobate mind. His mind doesn't work right.
So I liked when they asked you in the interview if you would shake his hands, and you're like, I don't know where his hand's been, so I won't touch it.
Yeah,
or maybe I wouldn't touch it because I do know where it's been.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the guy on my left was like a Lutheran pastor, and I love the part in the film where he's like,
Reggie, don't look at me like you look at other people, Reggie. I have a master's degree, I have a PhD.
You know, he starts like bragging about all his degrees and stuff, and Reggie's like, that doesn't make you right.
So. Yeah, so what I thought was funny is as soon as the immigration showed up, I knew right then and there that you were going to get deported, but you still in the back of your mind thought that you weren't going to get deported or something.
Yeah, I was like in denial.
Yeah, you were in denial
the whole time. I thought everything was fine all the way to the bitter end.
And in fact, if you see like in a little bit when they're taking him out, I mute the audio because the audio was just Pastor saying, like, they're just taking me to go. I'm like,
it's me just like, everything's fine. Yeah, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm just really optimistic. What can I say?
Yeah.
You actually sounded pretty ticked off when they took you to the immigration and told you that you're being deported. You sound ticked off.
Well, because they told me that I wasn't. That's why I was being so optimistic. They told me I was not being deported. You're not under arrest. Everything's fine. So I just believed them, and then I was just betrayed, man.
Well, you know, what's interesting too about this is the audio. So my bags never arrived, and so I only had one battery left for my audio, my recording equipment, and that was like literally like less than half when we started this interview. And so I had to keep stopping the camera over and over while we were, I mean, the audio, to preserve the battery. And so by the time we got to this part, literally I just had like this little bar left. And I was so nervous because I was like, I have to get this audio. And so, but I swear this was of God, because that little bar just held all the way until after Pastor got deported and arrested, even in that in that interrogation.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that when they had me in that room questioning me, I was still wearing the audio.
Yeah,
they didn't even notice that I was wearing a lapel mic.
Yeah.
So you got, even though you couldn't film it, you got just crystal clear, high quality audio from the lapel mic. And then they're like, we need to confiscate all your electronics. And I start just pulling off like wires. And they're like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah.
Because they just expect me to have like a cell phone. And I had like this whole wired up thing under my shirt. So,
it was of God that we even got that stuff, because I'm telling you, my battery never lasts that long. Usually once it gets down to that little last bit, it goes even faster.
Yeah, I never even start a sermon unless I have full three bars.
Yeah.
Because the bars go down so fast.
Well, that was one of the battles with this film is pretty much after this interview, I had no more sound because my bags didn't arrive until later. So we were... All the sound in this film was taken from a little mic I had like strapped to the camera, but it wasn't like professional sound at all. So Jen really saved us on the sound mix. But is everyone hearing this fine? Make sure you, Logan, we're going to put the link to the survey, guys. Make sure to vote on the survey. Take that survey. It's in the chat box.
Let us know what's your favorite Framing the World film.
Yeah, I have no regrets about doing the interview.
No.
I really like the way the interview turned out. Tons of people heard it live. And you know what was so cool? The president of the country was literally listening live.
Yeah.
That's why I got deported, because he was literally listening live. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Degree. Yeah, that is cool.
That's pretty cool to go to a country of 2 million people and the president of the country is tuned in listening to you preach. That's pretty cool.
So when you... I still didn't know if they were going to let me come at this point, so I just jumped in the car hoping they would let me come.
Yeah, they drove so incredibly fast. Like, the movie doesn't even capture the speeds that we were going. But they were driving, like, over 100 miles an hour at times. It was wild. And even in the residential areas and stuff, they were just pedal to the metal, like, going pretty fast, weaving in and out of traffic. It was like, I felt like I was in a movie or something on a car chase.
Yeah, and the film doesn't even do it justice, because I'm telling you, they were driving so fast.
They were enjoying it.
Yeah.
They were having fun with it. Yeah. And I remember there was this one part where they pulled into a parking lot, and the guy literally just, like, slid into his parking spot. I kid you not. The cops were just loving their vehicles.
They're like, finally, we got something to do around here.
Yep.
He didn't say he was banned, right, in South Africa?
No. All right, so these are all the executive producers that made this film possible. I really appreciate their support. This was a very hard shot to get. For some reason, the rig, I had this rig strapped to the back, and it just took Chris, poor Chris, it took us a half a day to get that shot. He was a trooper, though. He didn't care. It was kind of like the beginning of this live stream. It was kind of like Paul just screwing up everything.
Yeah, there were so many people threatening to kill me in South Africa and stuff. But it was probably just God's will that I didn't even get allowed in.
Yeah.
There were so many people threatening me.
Well, that was one of the scenes that actually got cut from the film, is you getting ready to go and talking about all the people threatening you and stuff, which is a great scene. It just didn't fit.
Yep.
And
Yeah, like instead of the scene where I'm shaving off my beard,
yeah,
it ended up being you shaving off your beard later in the film.
Yeah, so yeah, talk about that though, because we filmed this whole scene where you're packing up, getting ready to go.
Well, because it was a totally different. When we started filming it, it was a completely different movie. It wasn't called Deported.
Yeah,
it was just about us going to South Africa, and I was going earlier than I said I was going, and I was in disguise so that I wouldn't get ambushed at the airport because all these people are going to be meeting me at the airport, all these people threatening me. So I wanted to just kind of slip in quietly and be able to get in and do the event. And it just didn't work, obviously, because I got banned and rerouted and everything. But
well, that shot right there, that drone shot, was done by a kid in our church, actually, because my drone is having problems. So that was done by Hesser's boy. And, so he did a great job with that. And, yeah, this is another super low quality news footage that I got. So see all these like lower thirds right there, and I had to recreate all that. I redid all that to make it seem higher quality than it is, because it was such low quality. I redid all the bottom lower thirds there.
And what's up with this gimmick accusing me of promoting racial hatred?
Yeah.
What a liar, dude. Well, he got exposed to the whole world, no pun intended.
Black people that came on our trip with us.
I know. Our church is like one of the most diverse IFB churches. So.
Yeah, Paul crashed his drone. Yep, that's a very true story. In fact, Pastor Anderson was there when it all went tumbling down and into a heap.
Which time? I've seen you crash your drone a bunch of times.
yeah. So that right there was one of the purchased shots of the film, that shot of Phoenix. There was five purchased shots in this film. That was
without
one of them.
Going to Johannesburg. I'm just looking at like pages and pages.
See, what people have to understand when they watch a film like this is that like everything connects. You all know how things are going to end up, but us at the time, we have no idea what's going to happen next. We don't know how things are going to end up. So it's a lot. It was a lot more intense in the moment when you have no idea what's going to happen.
And you were literally on no sleep here either. Because you were talking about watching this, the interview of them. I didn't see it till maybe 6 months
later. Yeah, I was watching the interview at like 1 in the morning. And then I spent the next several hours like on the phone with airlines trying to reroute our flights and stuff. So, yeah. Yeah, I got really sleep deprived on that whole trip. I can't handle jet lag. Anytime I go across the Atlantic, it really messes me up.
Well, going to Africa is not a fun trip. And I think Shane can attest to that. Right, Shane?
No, it's not a fun trip. It's a long trip.
Yeah.
I think that the person most likely to be banned is you. Because our tickets were bought on the same transaction.
So Tyler Baker's there in the driver's seat. I was trying to zoom in.
He got cropped.
I was trying to zoom in past him so you wouldn't see him. There he is right there, a little part. So I'm like zooming in right here, doing a digital zoom to kind of just get him out of the frame. In Hades that they're gonna ban, but I couldn't get him out totally.
Teresa Jones or Lola, you know, how are they?
You should have just photoshopped someone else's head on his body.
Yeah, I'm not that good.
A deep fake.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a foreshadowing of the devil who's gonna, you know, the devil's gonna be involved in a lot of things in this film, so that's like an early foreshadowing.
Well, I kind of like how this film just, you know, it's kind of like Beyond Jordan where you're going along for the ride, but this is kind of like the calm before the storm.
Andrew Paul wrote in the chat, I saw Paul in the lobby of the theater before the film, so I knew he got out of Botswana.
All right, guys, I am here at the airport. Checked in, got
so this actually was shot coffee, months later, so don't hate me on that.
Oh, you actually staged this? You recreated it?
I staged that, me in the airport there. I staged that, you know, 3 years later.
I'm ready to go. We can tell because you look so much older in the
no,
stuff you staged.
I actually, yeah. It's a lot more gray.
Did you usually Just for Men, you know, try to
it up? Yeah. Yeah. All right, there's Yeah, I really like that shot. And I wish I would have had that better. I wish I would have filmed them better. Those, them playing the instruments there. But we couldn't use their audio.
That was a fun little. That was like there was such optimism before that. That little, because we that little the scene you have here. There was just a small group of us that got to go and check out Germany on this. We hopped the subway, and went and had got the Wiener Schnitzel, the whole nine yards, and we had a great little time. It was just like we were just so pumped and excited for this trip, and it just all came crashing down.
Well, at this point, we knew that Pastor Anderson got in the country,
we thought
we're gonna get in no problem and get in, and so we were just like living high right there, and then this happened. So what's between the scene of us going out in the town and this was I thought I lost my passport. Remember that? Do you remember that? And then I was running around trying to find my passport.
Yeah, okay, I do remember.
And
that.
I had to run back to the. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was horrible.
And it was so we were on. I think we were like gate 99.
Yeah.
Some crazy.
It's
massive.
It's like a 20-minute run.
It's a huge airport, and we're just running all over the place. Yeah.
So I run back, and I'm like almost missing my flight because I can't find my passport anywhere, and it was like in my bag or something ridiculous.
With you the whole entire time.
Yeah, the whole time. And I finally get back, and then we're late to board the plane. And then once we go to board the plane, they're like, "Curry, we gotta board the plane." And then once we go to board the plane, they're like, "Nope, you can't get on." So it didn't even matter.
That scene there, I was with you guys when that happened. I was the only one out of the four of us that made it through.
Yeah. Yeah, you went through the. Yeah.
I went through and I was standing watching you guys, and you guys are all like, go. So I just turned around and like booked it down the ramp.
Yeah, go before they change their mind.
Yeah. We are not going to make it on. But I swipe out at the same time as you guys.
Yeah.
South Africa. It's crazy, huh?
Good looking plane, but.
Well, I know. So I have. I guess we have. When I sent out screeners, it tells me who watched the screener and how much they watched of the screener. And so Garrett did make it all the way through this screener. So they watched the film. So I didn't get a response if they liked it.
Oh, you actually sent him a screener?
Yeah, because I was – yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, wow. All
right, Paul, I got it all. He never responded.
Paul's such a gentleman.
Yeah, for real.
Well, I want him to see it. I mean – he wouldn't believe me about his wife before, so maybe – the film would help him. Believe me.
All right, so we're all on different flights, but that's
but this we stayed in this hotel for like 2 hours. Nora and I had to get up so early.
Didn't he blow up at you? You told me later. Like I didn't hear about it at the time, but I guess he blew up at you when you were interviewing Nao. Or
yeah, it was,
what happened with that?
It was right before we interviewed Nao. I was telling him like what she did, and he just started screaming at me. And just telling me off and telling me how I better not, talk to her about that on the interview. And that's why the interview with her, I was very hesitant because he was right outside the door.
And he was pretty touchy about it.
Yeah.
Because she was guilty.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, what's funny is that if we would have made the movie back then, we would have been kind of whitewashing some of that stuff.
And trying
to smooth that over, but... because of what happened afterward, just ended up just showing everything, which made it a better movie, right?
Yeah, I remember when we came back and having this discussion with you saying, like, hey, I don't know how I'm going to cut around this.
Right.
And remember?
Well, yeah, because when we had that phone call and we realized, like, when Shane's on the phone with us, the first time we talked, we realized that the government, that she's working with the government to try to find us.
Yeah.
As soon as Shane hangs that up, I go... Nao sold us out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the stuff with Garrett all went down, and Paul's like, hey, do you know what you said? Here's the clip. I'm like, you got to cut that out. That's
that can't go in the film.
Yeah, go in. You're like, no, it's going in.
All right, that right there of me talking, that was months, 3 years later. 3 years later.
They were going to arrive in a couple days here, so super, super excited about this trip. Well, hi, you're here.
Hey,
are you excited?
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people know this, but Nao doesn't have legs. It's something I didn't even know until after this trip. No, I knew that. I knew that. What am I talking about? I interviewed Garrett like a million times.
It was just one of those things that you forgot, and then you remembered it later.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, when you did that interview with Neo, the purpose of that interview was to gloss things over. You were trying to do the interview to like to smooth it out and to try to make her look better, but he was just so touchy about it that he really just chewed you out or whatever.
Yeah, and all these drone shots were done by a guy named Justin Drennan. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He came with Shane and I on the second trip, and he did an amazing job. Total trooper. I would definitely bring him on any future project.
Remember all those drone shots? Every time we did the Riverwalk, they wouldn't let us, so I'd go soul winning and get talk to the security guards to distract
them. Yeah, we'd have to get the security guards saved to get the drone shot.
Yep.
Maybe like 5 or 6 of them. So that right there, was that whose shot was that? That was Rob's shot, right?
Or mine.
Oh, no, that was yours, wasn't it? Was it yours?
Yeah, these are basically the only people that we saw the whole time we were in Botswana that weren't black.
Yeah.
Were the five protesters.
Yeah.
None of them were black. And we never saw anyone else who wasn't black, like, the whole time we were there. And obviously there are white people there, but very few.
We just didn't run into them.
Yeah, we didn't run into them.
And in fact, I didn't run into any white people on the whole trip. You ran into some because you were at this service. I wasn't at this
they
service.
Weren't, none of them were from Botswana. They were clearly like just foreign exchange college students, just college libtards. Well, that's
what people call and this.
So is this the footage filmed by the dirty old man?
Yeah.
Is this like dirty old man cam?
Yeah, this is dirt. That's why I put the record in the screen.
Yeah. So I just
grabbed that's the most controversial scene in the movie.
That's sad that this scene's controversial because who wants some dirty old man in their church service?
Yeah.
He's not there because he loves
the
Lord.
Actually, like, before the service, he was sitting behind a couple, this white couple that came up from South Africa, and they were listening to the service and stuff like that, and he was sitting behind them. They told me afterwards that he was whispering in their ear, it's like, hey, I'm a homosexual, and they're like, shut up, stop talking. And the guy was just trying to provoke them. Like, he was just there. He was a troublemaker. He was just there to provoke them.
He was trolling. And you know what? I wish we would have got the footage where the guy literally got on his knees and started, like, apologizing to me on his knees. It was so weird. Because he was putting on this big show for the media. He got down on his knees, and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry, Pastor Anderson. Will you please forgive me? It was so weird.
Right. Was that Rob's footage?
He did the same thing to me. Because there was two entrances to the building. So I ran around to the front and made sure that entrance was locked, because that's how they originally came in. And that's where he was. And he looks at me. He looks it over at the people that are filming, those protesters. And he gets on his knees, and he's grabbing my foot, and he's kissing my foot, going, I'm so sorry. I'm just like, what?
He's doing it to you, too?
He did it to me, too, yeah. And then he saw the news camera with Pastor Anderson. That's when he came around and did it again.
Yeah, because my kids said that was the funniest part of the movie was when I'm on the phone with, like, customer service, and I'm like, he was down on his knees, like, begging forgiveness. And then, oh, yes, I'm still here. Yes, sorry.
Hey, this is Pastor Anderson cam right here. This is one of the three shots, I think, in the film that are yours.
Did you give me a camera credit?
I don't remember. What? I should have. I better have. Man. And then
Brother Garrett Kirsten. It's funny this sermon, Pastor, you posted my video on your channel, and then there was people on there saying that this video wasn't real.
Oh, remember? Yeah, talk about that. Wasn't Denlinger the one?
Denlinger said it was all on a green screen.
What is he going to say when he sees this movie? I mean, is it the whole thing on a green
screen? Well, Paul, you've already admitted in multiple places that you filmed it 3 years later, that it was pickup shots.
Yeah.
So,
It's funny. My son got – you put my son in here, like, a bunch of times, eh, Paul?
Yeah.
It's cool, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people we added
– yeah. I love this scene because it really gives a cameo to a lot of our friends.
Yeah.
It shows a lot of our friends here.
And that guy right there is a news reporter. Remember that Arab news reporter?
That's Minneapolis. My daughter is in the shot.
Yeah, in the snow. We even had snow.
Well, you know, when you don't have home movies, at least you can pull out something like this and get a quick memory.
You don't have home movies?
I mean, we don't have a lot.
Oh, man.
We have a million photos, though.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, your movies are our home movies. Yeah. Like, when you cut to the crowd and show my family, it's like a family memory right there.
This was, I think, one of my favorite sermons you ever preached, that you preached there that Sunday night.
Why, thank you.
If you guys haven't listened to that, I think it's online.
Oh, yeah, it's all online.
Yeah. You should check out that sermon. And it was perfect because you talk about the persecution, and then, I mean, everything that you talk about happens.
It was just like preparing people for the next couple days.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It's like foreshadowing.
Yeah.
That's funny, that last scene there where we're at the Riverwalk, the guy that Rob and I are talking, or maybe it's this scene here, there's a guy that we're talking to. He was a cab driver. You can see it on the left-hand side there. He was getting saved, and right there, that guy right there, on the left.
Yeah.
When we pulled up to the Riverwalk, the next trip, the first person I seen when we pulled up was that guy.
He was right there at the same spot 3 years later.
Yep. And he remembered us, too.
Yep.
He's like that guy outside the tomb of Lazarus, where he's just always
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we went back the second time. He was there when we went back.
At the Lazarus tomb?
Yeah. Yes. We got an interview with him. I don't know if it made it in the... Yeah, yeah, it did. Yeah,
I think it is. Yeah.
50-plus year that guy was there, and his father was there before that.
Yeah.
So
all the way back to Lazarus.
Yeah. We would sell postcards.
And stand up and tell people, no! He's a direct descendant of Lazarus.
All right. Well, but to just stand up
and preach the word of God. Actually, I'm filming him right there on the video. You can see me there with my phone.
Yeah.
So there. They can't debunk the green screen.
Was your arm tired?
Yeah, it must have been.
This building could be anywhere. There's no proof that this building is in Botswana.
You kept on alternating your arms left and right.
He had to rest. He needed like Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms like Moses.
Yeah, that's my shot right there, right, Paul?
Yeah, look at that mic.
That's steady too.
Right there.
I always love it when Paul needs pickup shots like years later, and he's like, "Hey, do you still have this tie?" Like, 3 years later.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'm
to
like,
me
no.
all the time. Well, do you have this shirt? Do you have this hat? Like, what?
Yeah, and then I have to go rebuy this stuff. I had to find it and rebuy it.
I destroy all my stuff. Yeah. My stuff doesn't last. Because
I had every piece of clothes that I only had one outfit.
Yeah, when we went back to Africa, he sent me a list of things to pack for my first trip. I had to go dig some of that stuff up. See if I had it.
He loves his money. Yeah. And so he wants to make sure he just get as many people to come to church as he can. I guess if you're wondering if this is all shot at one time on the trip, I guess this is being your whole life is being shattered right now.
Yeah, and then this the shirt that I'm wearing, I still have this at least.
That's the original one.
But what's funny, when we were there, everybody was wearing this shirt. Like everybody had it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, where do I get one? Because I felt left out. It was like the uniform for being in the country. Like, literally, you'd walk up to four guys, and it's just four guys wearing the shirt, literally. And so I was just like, where do I get one? So then finally we found some stand at the mall, and I bought them for myself. I bought some for my kids. We all got them. And then I went jogging at night with, I think it was like maybe Sam Osborne and Caleb Akinosho, maybe. And we went jogging at night, and we jogged by this bar, but like all of the partiers at the bar were all like outside the bar, and I kid you not, there were literally hundreds of them. It was weird. It was just like hundreds of people tailgating in a parking lot outside of a bar, and as we ran by, they just start like cheering, like, "Hey, Bots 50, yeah!" They're just like cheering for the shirt, cheering that the shirt ran by. Just a white guy wearing a shirt running.
Right, that's not something they see.
Yeah, it was just, they just came unglued.
That shirt was still popular when we went back 3 years later because it was like everywhere.
Everyone had it. Yeah,
because we were there the actual year of the 50th anniversary, I think, or pretty close to it. But even 3 years later, people were still wearing it.
Yeah, you go to that flea market. That's where we shot the Pawnee shot, too, is when I bought that shirt for Vinny.
Well, I think this is the longest scene of the whole movie, this you preaching this.
Yeah.
And it was originally super long, and then Pastor had to say, "Paul, come on."
It was too long, so it needed a lot of trimming.
Please, Paul.
Please, brother.
This can't go on for...
Yeah, it was too
much. Hey, Paul, what was your original idea for the movie length? Like, were you planning on doing it like 2 hours or an hour and a half, or it just turned out that way?
No, we were always planning on doing 2 hours. We were just going to, it was just going to be a totally different film.
I thought we usually do like 90 minutes. We kind of shoot for 90 and end 90. Up doing 2 hours is usually what ends up happening.
Well, yeah, this is the longest film we've ever made. That you would protect us. You promise. There's Rob. Even through the valley of the shadow of death, you would always be with us, Lord. I don't think Jay wanted to be in this film. Alone, help
us not to be scared. No, Jay didn't want to be there. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And Lord, I confess to you that I'm a human being,
and sometimes I'm fearful, and I have the wrong. It's pretty cool time lapse of the Milky Way, huh? Give me boldness, and I pray that you would give every single person who's here tonight
boldness, and take away the fear. Help us to fear not. And in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, we're if you're a flat earther, though, the stars are a little different over there.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, when we, before we went to Botswana, actually, because the whole flat earth thing was going on, and I took note of the constellations in Toronto right before I left. And then 2 days later, when I was in Botswana at nighttime, I looked up and the stars were completely different. I'm like, well, that debunks flat earth.
By the past. Yep. So we
thought. And that's when you stop being a flat earther, huh? No, I'm just kidding.
There's good old Moses.
Yeah, there's Moses.
You're safe, Logan, you're safe.
Moses, which also betrayed them.
He was really nice.
That was one of my kids' favorite lines of the movie, too. Like, why does Moses suck?
So that is a car rig shot. So you got to imagine, guys. So we have this car rig strapped to the front of the car. And it's not just like we don't – that's not a GoPro. We have our big camera attached to the car, hanging off the front, and we're driving down just trying – we're trying to stay low key. And everyone's just staring at us everywhere we go. Yeah, it was
sort of like the drone.
Yeah. It was worse than the drone. Well, yeah, she's getting there. Because just everyone.
Oh, man. There's a funny story. Speaking of driving, when Paul and I were driving around just by ourselves for some reason, and we couldn't figure out how to put the car in reverse. It was so weird. Like, because I guess you had to, like, shove down on the shifter in order to get reverse. Because I'm used to just. Because I started out driving a stick, and it was just like, you know, first, second, third, fourth, overdrive, and then reverse is down here. But it was like you had to push down and toward you to get it in reverse. And we didn't know how to do it. We couldn't figure it out. So we literally, every time we had to back out of a parking spot, we would literally jump out of the car and put the car in neutral and push the car backward and then jump in and drive forward. So then we go to pick up Pastor Bogart at the airport on Monday night. And we were like really embarrassed because we didn't want Pastor Bogart to see us just like, being so dumb, like not knowing how to drive this car. So we're just like, why don't we just ask him to drive, you know, and then we'll watch and see what he does and then we'll know. So we pick him up at the airport and then we're like, hey, do you mind driving? And he acted kind of weird, but he's like, I guess, sure. And then we watched him just push it down, click it in reverse. We're like, oh, that's how you do it.
You're like, okay, you can get out now, we'll drive.
He probably wondered why we made him drive.
Just Google it.
You can't.
We had no signal.
We had no signal.
Yeah, we had no data.
We had airtime for that kind of stuff.
Wi-Fi, nothing.
We didn't have data for that.
Did you go to Africa with us? Were you on that same trip as us?
Airtime, baby.
I got a data plan, like long distance plan before I left, but.
So did I, but it didn't work.
Were there Wi-Fi spots or anything? Or?
Yeah, I didn't get service the whole time, and I paid like this extra fee. I paid like $400 something.
Okay, that food is all over the floor.
Yeah, that is on the floor.
That's
right
directly
there.
On the kitchen floor, and people were just like stepping over it and stuff.
This actually interview with her is really funny. Like the full interview with her mom.
Oh, yeah. My favorite part of the full interview with the mom is when she's like, I like Brother Garrett too much. Because in other languages, they mix up like too much and very much. Some languages, the same word.
Yeah.
She's like, I like Garrett too much.
Well, I'm glad we did those because I was like hesitant to do these interviews because I was like, oh, we'll do them later because we were already rushing around. But you talked me into getting these interviews, Pastor. I'm very glad you did.
Yeah, I remember. I think I was like, come on, let's set it up. Yeah, yeah. Do it right here. This is going to work.
I totally was not going to do it.
We needed it.
Yeah.
That lady right there was looking forward to the wedding the most, I think. She was ready to party.
Yeah, oh yeah. She was ready to get her dance on.
I think those cows that were going to get slaughtered probably were happy how things turned
out. I was assimilating into the culture rapidly, as you can see in this picture. I'm like a chameleon, man.
So, Pastor, what was that phrase you kept busting out? Like that Botswana
phrase? Yeah, what does
that
mean?
I don't know. I mean, this is what happened. Okay, I literally, before this trip, I studied so much Afrikaans. I learned literally thousands of words in Afrikaans. And then I got banned from South Africa, which is like the only place in the world that anybody speaks Afrikaans. So that was kind of a bummer. So then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to pick up a little bit of the Setswana language. So when we went on this trip, I had not learned any of the language whatsoever, but I had a really good app on my phone. And I was using the app, and I was really good at faking it. Like, basically, I would think of what I wanted to say, and I would kind of like hide the app, look it up, listen to it, and then I would just kind of bust out with the right thing at the right time, and people would just be kind of shocked. Like, whoa, how did you know that? How do you know the language? But it was really just the app.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny because people loved you right away as soon as you started breaking out with the language.
Yeah. Well, because because I've learned a lot of foreign languages in the past, I was able to pronounce it correctly. Yeah. I was able to kind of get the accenting and the tone and everything. But I was just relying heavily on this app, but I kind of hid the app so people wouldn't see it.
This was another stressful drone shot right here. Super stressful drone shot. I think Shane can attest to that. I'm
surprised. Didn't we do that from the parking lot of Gabs?
Yeah. I was
surprised.
So I was fine with getting these drone shots, but Shane was just like super paranoid, and he kind of rubbed off on me a little bit.
No, of course not.
Trust me, I can attest to that. I got some phone calls when he was down there in Botswana. He's like, bro, I'm so stressed, man. They're going to round us up. I was like, calm down, man. Everything's going to be good. God's with you. Don't worry.
Well, yeah, it's because he's already been threatened with torture the first time he was there. And now he's just breaking the law the second time?
Yeah.
In all fairness, you know what happened? Was Paul told me, I never heard his what happened to him, like when he went to jail and the what it was like. So he told me what it was like and what happened, no water and sleeping in the urine and all that.
I had water.
It freaked me out. And that's why I got like that, because I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, he didn't tell you those stories until you'd already agreed to go the second time.
No, we were there. We were in Africa when he told me.
Oh, by the way.
By the way. And then he's taking these drone shots. And everybody's coming out and pointing at us. I was like, oh, man, we're going to get so arrested.
Yeah. And they made it so clear in the airport, like, do not fly this drone. Like, do not fly this drone or you will get arrested. And so we were super nervous the whole time. They said they could arrest us. They said they would confiscate the drone, give us a fine, and they could arrest us. And so we were just...
Well, and if they knew why you were flying the drone, then they might just arrest you anyway just to mess with you.
Well, we're filming government buildings the whole time. Like, it's like not police stations and government buildings.
Well, and you had a copy of the Anarchist Cookbook in your suitcase. That didn't help.
And weapons, right? Weapons, too.
I didn't have... Okay, let's get this straight. I did not have any weapons on it. It was stupid Sam that carried
the best
line
in the movie is the axe, the knife, and the poison.
I mean, who brings an axe with them? That is just ridiculous. But I guess he was planning on being there for so long.
He was
going to
be there for like a year.
Yeah, so I guess he thought he couldn't buy one there. He couldn't have just bought an axe like in Africa. It'd probably be a lot cheaper.
Yeah,
they see these guys, and while they're interrogating Pastor Anderson here, they're telling him what's going on. If you like, they obviously they know human psychology. Like you could tell by the way they're talking to him and the words they're using, you know, to kind of like subdue him and, you know, make him think that everything's cool and just, you know, be cooperative. And there's some, you know, there's media outside. You know, don't sensationalize anything that's not sensational. And you know, he's like, yeah, whatever, cool, yeah, I'll, you know, I'm coming with you and stuff like that. So, you know, they do that on purpose. Okay, they know human nature. They know how to, like, just get in your head.
So you see me
to be cooperative. Okay.
I want to say this before I forget, but if you saw me, I was moving back and forth right there. I was just making sure that it was still recording because it was literally, at this point, it's flashing at me, like, battery's going to die, battery's going to die. And so I was just, like, just praying this would last. And somehow
it
did.
How long is it
this
until
is where you
your
muted
your
my
thing
optimism?
Dies.
Yeah, I muted your optimism because you're just saying, oh, nothing's going to happen. They're just taking us down there. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. They just want to talk to me. And it kind of killed
them. Said.
I know, but it killed the mood. So I was like, I just got to mute all sound.
You edited right. Yep. So you know, they took me away. Then they took me to another building. And then they tell me, yeah, you're being deported, you know, this and that. And then they just interrogated me for hours. They wanted me to, like, rat on everybody and give me everybody's name stuff. And I just told them, I'm not going to talk about anything about other people. Like, I'll tell you anything you want to know about me. So then they just asked me about myself for, like, an hour and a half. Like, what does my dad do for a living? What does my mom do for a living? What do my grandparents do for a living? They're just, like, questioning me so much. And then they fingerprint me, photograph me. They do all this stuff. Then by the time we get to the airport, there was only like one flight left leaving for the day. And if I didn't make it on that flight, I was going to have to spend the night in jail. And I didn't have enough money for the flight because they didn't take any kind of a card. So I had, and my ATM card wasn't working right or something. So I had to like pull money out of like two different ATMs with two different cards. And I remember I was just barely able to scrounge up, like I maybe had like $20 to spare or something. Barely was able to scrounge up enough money to barely get on that flight, and I barely made it. But I was stressed out because I didn't want to have to spend the night in that jail that you spent the night in.
Yeah, right.
You might have got mopped after.
So
what's that?
You might have gotten mopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. They would have just mopped me down.
So right here,
with cleanliness.
Again, those were car mount shots, and we had it like literally like 4 inches from the ground to make it seem like it's going super fast. And
Paul, did you blow through that red light on purpose?
Yeah.
He was simulating the way they drove.
Yeah. It's exactly how it went.
That's what they did.
They literally went through the red lights.
Well, and then what's funny, when we got to the airport, they said, like, we're not going to put handcuffs on you or anything. You just need to act like we're all just friends hanging out. So the cops just told me to just act like they were my friend and we were just hanging out together. So we were just like eating snacks and sodas and just like joking around and talking at the airport.
I had to beg for this shot right here. This shot of the immigration building, I had to beg for because Shane just refused to get this shot.
Why do you got to keep bringing that up, Paul? Let it go, man.
I had
to. He wasn't happy with me for a long time after the trip.
Yeah, it was a rough trip for
time
Shane.
Heals all wounds.
This shot right here is the only photo I had. I actually had a video, but it was such horrible quality. I had to like take a photo of it, like take a still of the video and just play that.
I was lied to when
but that was the room you went into.
That's not what I was told when I came down here. I was told,
and it didn't exist the second time we went there. Like they redid everything. We couldn't even find that room.
Really?
Yeah.
And the people who picked me up said
no. No redoing that. This all happened. This was all in the day. And if you can see me, they were standing. Leave, two guys were watching me there. And so they thought I was just looking at my phone.
Then I will leave.
But you can see the two guys right there. The one guy in the middle, he was a reporter. And the two guys on the outside, those two guys were watching me.
If you are making me leave, then I will leave.
Yes. We're making you leave.
It's funny, Pastor. The same thing happened to me when I left the airport. They told me not to make a scene. And they just told me to just be friendly and everything. And they hung out with me, too, until I left.
Yeah, and then we were hanging out. And then I get on the plane. And people were recognizing me on the plane. Like, a couple guys, like, got out of their seat at different times and walked up to my row in the plane. And they're like, hey, are you that pastor that, you know, was on the radio and stuff? And then they're just like, they were taking selfies with me. And, like, they were acting like I was cool. Like, they weren't acting like I was bad at all. Like the people there loved us. It was just the government that threw us out.
Yeah, every person that we talked to, none of them had a bad word to say about it. And it was like our icebreaker. So for the rest of the trip, we would show them like something that had your picture on it, and they're like, oh yeah, this is the pastor. We're like, yeah, that's us. We're part of him.
Well, and you know, since the movie went on YouTube a couple days ago, you know, I've been running the Facebook ads in Botswana, And there were tons of comments already from people saying, like, oh, I remember when this happened, or, like, people Yeah, they were tagging other people, like, hey, do you remember this? Do you remember when this happened?
Oh, cool. That's what I wanted to happen. That's
and most of the comments were really positive. A lot of people are like, this guy's preaching the truth. And
well, I remember,
it's been great so far.
Remember, if you listen to the full interview of you at the radio station, people were calling in after you talked, and it was all positive. Like,
oh, yeah.
80% of the calls were all positive, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was there was some negative mixed in, but it was majority positive.
Yeah.
And just in public talking to people, it was totally positive. So.
And I'm glad Reginald Richardson, that's a guy's name right there, he got this interview with the minister.
Now, have you sent him the full movie?
I did, and he hasn't watched it yet.
What?
I sent it to him. I sent him the YouTube link. I sent him the original VHX link.
Your little stat is just showing that he hasn't watched it, or what?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. And I asked him.
And he just said,
because I sent him the YouTube link, and because I thought maybe he just couldn't get the bandwidth to watch the VHX.
He's in the movie.
I know, and it makes him look great.
Look at him. He looks great.
I know.
Did he respond to you?
Yeah, he responds to me. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he was totally cool.
What did he say?
No, he hasn't watched it yet. I don't understand it.
But while this whole thing was going on, he was siding with you, right, Pastor? Like, he was kind of on your side.
Oh, yeah. At a minimum, he was for my freedom of speech and wanted me. But he even seemed like he liked me genuinely and agreed with a lot. But you know, at the minimum, he believed that I had the right to be there and to say that stuff. And you know.
Well, when we went back to Africa the second time, we got a sit-down interview with him. It's like an hour and a half. And then he actually interviewed me for like an hour and a half, except, you know, my shot of me is all completely out of focus.
But he got fired. Didn't he get fired or his show got canceled or something just for having me on the radio?
That was another thing we couldn't fit in the film.
The FCC
shut him down. They can't do live broadcast anymore
ever
since that interview.
Yeah, their version of the FCC, like the Botswana FCC equivalent, shut down that show
and fired
specifically
him and the lady
specifically because of having me on the radio. There was a news article about it.
Yep.
It was crazy.
According to 29.1, yep. They belong.
I mean, can you imagine that? The guy just does not agree with me on the air at all.
No,
never on the air did he say anything positive or agreeing. He was just providing an interview. He was just like doing both sides. He's talking to the Lutheran guy, he's talking to me, and they punished him. They punished the radio station.
Hold on.
They punished his assistant. It's crazy.
Can I pause this? I'm going to pause this. See how I can pause it? Okay.
Why are you pausing
the movie?
No,
I'm sorry. I'm pausing it. This guy right here.
I have to pause mine now.
Oh, crap.
Because
everybody
says pause there.
Yeah, right, okay, push play. Push play.
Well, now I got to push play. Then.
No, push play. Sorry, I don't. Why would I pause it?
What are you doing?
What
you want to be here all night?
Yeah. So, anyways, that was the head of the DIS, and he was at the building where they arrested you. And that was a picture of him, so you'd have to go back and watch that still. But that was the actual picture of the head of the DIS, who later got charged with corruption charges, or got arrested for corruption
charges.
And
then while they're arresting him, he's, like, threatening to overthrow the government? That was weird. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's incredible. Did they detain
well,
you?
I'm sure he has some dirt on the government. The head of the secret, or the, they said, whatever it is. Never been
there. Can't be worse than what they got on Gigaba.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it is.
Did you listen to the interview?
Look at that. So,
oh, yes, I listened to the interview. That's why I hate you and will help government round you all up.
Yeah.
I'm getting married in a couple days. Here, so I plan on getting married.
And you can tell right here he knows the church is not happening from this interview, the way he answers the questions.
Maybe they're not gonna
like he says it's your church. Like you can tell like it's not connected. It's not like he's not saying it's his church or
take over.
Like he's already like distancing himself.
Yeah, he's distancing. Yeah, you can by the way he answers this, you can tell.
You know, plan on continuing to do that.
Basically, Garrett in this movie is kind of just like a non-playable character.
Yeah, like even here, it's like, what do we do? And then we go to Moses. He doesn't even, like, Garrett doesn't give it a solution.
He's kind of just, most of the movie, he's just kind of like carried by the events.
Yeah.
He's just carried along by events.
Be my best man?
Sure.
Okay.
And this is Rob. This is a funny scene.
Now, Rob, did you ever end up being the best man?
No.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
When the wedding eventually happened, or no?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
you did.
No, well, yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. It does spread down at the church.
I think you were, you still did it at the church. You were the best man, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That was the ushers or whatever, too. We're preaching at
the school tomorrow, right? That was when, Rob, you were like in a string of weddings, weren't you?
Okay. So you're preaching.
I don't remember. I don't even remember.
Yeah,
what
around
I
that time you were in a you're in a bunch of them.
You're like in everyone's.
You can't
wedding.
Even remember being someone's best man.
I don't remember, man. I'm getting
you
old.
Just well, when somebody turns out to be bad, he just deletes that file from his brain. He doesn't remember any of it. He's just erased. He does a North Korea style purge.
Like that's
just
right.
Never so existed. This is when Moses was trying to talk us into not doing the preaching at the school. It's like, come on.
Yeah, this
man.
Is Garrett's most decisive moment in
yeah,
the film.
Yeah.
Usually he's just kind of like, oh, I wasn't there. Oh, I don't
yeah,
know.
But
sure.
I but it's because I looked at him and gave him this look like we. You don't hear it in the film, but I gave him this look like we have to do this. Like that's why we shipped all these Bibles here. I mean, I don't even know. You must have spent like $6,000-$7,000 just shipping those Bibles there. I can't.
Like, and it was all for that big
yeah,
school
to give
well,
away
and a lot of people got saved at the school because didn't they?
Yeah.
How many people did they get saved in the soul winning at the school?
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot.
Right?
Yeah, because they did
personal
soul
winning.
Because
they did a lot of one-on-one. Yeah, afterwards.
I think there was about 600 students or something.
Yeah, but then they went around and just did personal soul winning
yeah.
for the next
yeah.
hour or two or and got a lot of salvations yeah. there. So. But here's the thing. See all? Did you hear that chorus of all those girls are just like
yeah.
they all want to cancel the school.
They all yeah.
Did you hear
none
that?
Of them wanted to do it? Even Nao seemed like she didn't want to do it either.
Well, yeah, it was so weird when I got to Botswana. Okay, the first thing because you know I got picked up at the airport and I was pretty much shown around everywhere by Nao. So I was with Nao and her family for the first few days. Before any of you guys got there, I was the only person in the country.
Even though Pastor Anderson's been deported, you know what?
And Nao was just telling me, she's like, I've given the gospel to my friends, but I don't know if they're really saved. I've given the gospel to my family. I don't know if any of them are really saved. Like, I just want you to witness to all these people. Just every single person, gospel. So I'm like, okay. So then she just, like, took me around to, like, everyone that she knew. And, like, virtually none of them were saved. One person that I had talked to was already saved, but all the rest of them were not saved. So I ended up just like getting a lot of them saved one at a time. That was like what I did for the first few days when I was there, in addition to just like getting the chairs ready for the church building and just getting the building set up and just logistics, setting up the internet so that we could.
That shot right there that you just started, sorry to interrupt, but that shot of the wide shot, we had to climb a mountain, and we only had, we were running out of time to get on top of this mountain, and so I literally ran up a mountain and almost died. I felt like, would you agree to that, Shane?
I would agree to that. You left us all behind and just took off.
Yeah, just to get that shot, and then I like barely made it. I was so exhausted.
And he was like answering the questions for them. He's like, it's eternal.
Again, guys,
I will survive.
If you would have heard the sound on this before Jen did it, it was pretty rough.
Like
this scene especially. She saved this film.
Remember when Wimpy's Burger actually banned me? Because that was where one of our events was supposed to meet up in South Africa, and they banned me. So when I was in Botswana, I posted all these pictures online of me just like posing with the entire Wimpy staff and big smiles, you know. Wimpy loves Pastor Anderson and stuff. Because their company like made some statement about how bad I was and that they wouldn't allow us and stuff. It wasn't even good.
It's awesome. But that's how it's been
for
a lot of these shots.
None of the food was good there.
No.
It's not known for its food.
Well,
the
okay.
Chicken, yeah. We've got their whole restaurant saved. Like there's a theater upstairs. We got every single those person saved.
There's,
I mean, like,
there's Logan.
Shop we go to.
It's your big scene, man.
Right. And everywhere we go.
No, his big scene is getting married. First child being born. This trip.
It's pretty epic up at that point.
That was his signature line from this film.
So yeah.
Friday, yeah, you were in it a lot, actually.
Well,
yeah,
I was stuck with you. Driving all around. So we're gonna save the entire
but that was crazy how, like, all the staff and stuff would make appointments with you guys. Like, they wanted you to come and evangelize their whole staff, and they would literally make appointments.
That's weird. Yeah.
To come back, and can you just preach this to all of us? And they just did it as, like, a devotion, where they would just, they got everybody together to hear the gospel.
That's Seth. I don't think he
the most obnoxious person I've ever met in my life.
I don't think he wanted to be in this film either. A lot of people did not want to be in this film.
I just remember Teresa ended up somehow had the same layover as him. So she kind of ended up hanging around with him at the airport for a few hours and then like being on the same plane with him. And she was just like ready to kill him after like 10 hours or something.
Guys,
but she was like too,
okay.
She was like too, she was too polite to say it. So she's just like, Seth, I can only take you in small doses, Seth.
Hey, wait. So wait, we got a question in the chat. Did we ever get the appointment at Friday at 1 p.m.?
I went back. I went back for it and, they weren't there.
Oh,
that's on my way to the airport. When you like later in the movie, when I'm going to the airport, we did stop there, but it was a little early, and I called the lady that was there, and she didn't answer. So, but I had to go.
Yeah, but they got other appointments that they did.
But to answer, sorry, go ahead.
That was like that wimpy scene was like day two or something like that. So we kept going back every day to the Wimpy. So we just kept witnessing the people while we were there. So, they had a whole week of us.
I was just going to answer Rob's question. Seth Bookout is a flat earther. So what we're going to do is he got real offended, and now he's just like a trash can guy.
And we're just going to he is to go down to Steadfast Fort Worth, right?
Yeah. Break into
like individuals. So those are all the Bibles.
Flat Earth claims another victim.
You don't even see the pan down. Oh no, I do show the pan down. That is a lot of Bibles right there. That was a really cool experience.
Well, we did the same thing in Guyana, like tenfold.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
It was just Guyana. We were doing that like 3-4 like, times a day.
Yeah,
exactly. It was all day.
But this is kind of where we learned it.
After you preach that sermon and we were handing stuff out to the students at the school, like the teachers were like smacking them and like, you better read this. You better watch.
Oh,
this
in Guyana.
DVD.
Oh yeah. Man, yeah. I stood by the door in Guyana. And the teacher was literally like slapping the DVDs into their hands, like, you better watch this. You better straighten up. You need to listen to this. You need to fear God. Like, it was crazy.
I love that tree in this shot. The tree, that tree is just the most beautiful tree.
And they just like swarmed me and they just grabbed them and I just like threw them and ran.
It's like such a feeling.
Now, I was wondering, Paul, is this interview from the original trip or was this done on the second trip? That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, you can tell because it's good sound.
Yeah.
And I didn't have good sound.
When I was talking, it sounds really good.
When I watched the movie, I'm just like playing this game of just trying to figure out what's first trip, what's second trip.
I don't even know how many salvations we got because we haven't had a chance to count them yet, but it's just amazing.
But you know what? So everything that we reshot, it's stuff that happened, you know?
Well, it's in the spirit of the original. Yeah. You're recreating exactly what happens.
Yeah.
It's funny, this mall here, when we came back the second time and we tried to get stuff, we just witnessed all the security guards and then they would let us film.
Yeah.
Paul?
Yep. That was 3 years later, Paul. But while
they're doing that, that's the solution. All you got to do is just when you want to get into places, get the people in charge saved, and then they'll let you in.
Yeah.
Well, we got in trouble. Paul got in trouble with the rig in Botswana. All the security guards. Remember that, Paul?
Yeah. So we were driving. We had the car rig on, and remember, this is a pretty intense car rig.
His stench remains.
Yeah, I love that. We had the car rig attached,
and
some security guards like tracked us down, and they were going to arrest us. Remember that, Shane? And they wouldn't let us leave, and they drove us back. And the only way we got out of it is Shane just started witnessing to all of them, and like started getting them all saved. And then after he got them all saved, then they just let us go. But they were going to arrest us. Well, they were going to shake us down. I think that's what was
shake you down or arrest you. One of the two. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Paul's like freaking out, like, have you tried giving him the gospel? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I just walked over there and just thought, why not, right?
Yeah.
They were all friends after that.
So I think this is the drone shot of the police station, I think, was the most stressful shot, right, of the whole movie, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you sent me away for that, didn't you?
No, no, you were there on that one. I had to send Shane away for some of them because he just, it was so much, he couldn't handle it. I was just like, you got to go soul winning. I'll get this drone shot real quick.
Yeah, they would just all of a sudden, hey, look, there's a bunch of people here. Why don't you go soul winning here? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And then they would go take drone shots.
Because he was stressing out a drone pilot. Like, literally, as soon as it goes on, he's like, get it down, get it down. And it's like, Shane, we haven't even got the shot. He's like, get it down now. It's like, Shane, we have to get it up for 5 seconds to get a shot. Like, literally, all the drone shots are like, every second, every frame you see is the only good shot. And then he rushed it down.
He just keeps hearing in his head the guy saying, you're in Africa, bro. You're in Africa, bro.
And the explicit warning of not to fly the drone shot, and we're flying
that was on
like a Wednesday afternoon, you know.
Yeah, that's what made me nervous too. Is just the way, the amount of times they said, just better not catch you flying the same.
Anderson's flock. I love the Lord.
Every newspaper. I have like 4 of these newspapers.
My favorite one is the one where it says deported pastor gloats how being deported was so much fun.
I only had one of those newspapers.
That was a good one.
I bought so many. I bought like 6 copies of each of them. And somehow by the time I got back, I lost a few. I think people took them from me. I don't know.
Well, I still have all of them. I have an envelope at the church building with all that stuff.
But you cut it all out and stuff, right?
Yeah, I ruined it all. Okay. I'm not as good of a collector as you are.
Anymore now.
And then, well, yeah. This is
Paul's quite a collector.
Here is Kumo, the man.
All right, we're sending him in. He watched the movie.
He did watch the movie.
Well, he was getting some love in the comments.
What did he say? And what did he say? Do you like it?
He said it was good, and then he just asked me how I was doing. So
okay, so
yeah, he's a man of few words.
He's a man of few words. That's for sure.
Yeah. People were praising him in the comments, though, saying that he was the real hero.
He was. I agree.
They said he was like the opposite
That's
of Moses.
Shot. That's a shot. The most stressful shot in the movie, right there. Ask where the
car is at. Was it worth it?
It was worth it. Because that's the building. That's where it all went. Took down. I mean, we could film some random building and say it was it. But.
Keeping it real.
Trying to keep it real.
All right, they're on a stealth mission. We're too
scared.
Yeah,
no, Kumo was the man. He never got stressed either, did he?
He never got stressed. He always had a cool head. We're like the
goats. Yep.
I was the stress case. And the first trip, I was the stress case. And the second trip, you were the stress case.
What's that?
Yeah.
They're gone. Paul, I think you're always the stress case.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I was like, Paul, let's be real. It's pretty steady level of stress going on all the time with you.
Like, where would they take him?
It's just varying degrees.
To the office down there or here or where?
They were here and...
So the another gun. Flagger goes into the police station there. Like, did he just put his cell phone?
Yeah, that's
in
just
his
cell phone. Yeah. No, that's. And he didn't film the whole thing, so he actually said something that didn't happen. But what he said was true. It just we didn't get on camera.
But he said he doesn't know where they are, and then I said they're still here.
That's kind of the theme of this whole movie. Because, you film a lot, but you can't get everything.
Right.
So I have no idea.
I mean,
so we're gonna go
well, one, I had no batteries.
Yeah, there's always cool stuff that happens that you don't catch on film, for sure. And then there's other cool stuff that happens that you catch on film, but it doesn't fit the flow of the film.
Yeah.
So it ends up getting deleted.
That was Garrett right there. That was Garrett. I'm pretty sure. Still 80% sure.
Dude, this is terrible.
Second stressful shot of the film.
We'll come back.
Actually,
I can hear Shane screaming right here. Shane's just screaming. Take the drone down. Take it down. Someone's coming. Just run around the corner. Get the drone down.
You know what was stressful was Nao's parents' house.
Oh yeah, that was that didn't stress me out at all. I had to We were in the middle of nowhere. There's no stress.
Yeah, but they said don't come to their house. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So they call the police. They would call, right?
Yeah.
It was basically like when you were a kid and you'd hit the ball over the fence and you'd have to go knock on the neighbor's door. He didn't want to have to knock on the door. Hey, you know, can we get our drone out of your yard?
Yeah. Actually, that shot didn't turn out. We had to go back because that's where Paul was like, you got to stop stressing out the
pilot. Yeah, that you're right. We did the test. We watched the shot, and I was like, this is the worst shot ever. It's because you were screaming. I said, Shane, you just got to relax. We got to go back and do it again. We had to drive an extra 2 hours just to go redo that shot.
Yeah, Paul's like, if you don't calm down, we're going to be here a lot longer, so just calm down.
Do you know where they're at? Yeah. And the drone pilot was just so cool. Like, he didn't care.
Right, he's like, hey, it's your money, boss. Whatever you want.
I see it go the first time.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's got no trauma set.
he would just get in the zone because when he get that thing up there, he just became a pilot, right? He just walked everything out.
Yeah, he was a good, true professional. He nailed that every time.
Hello?
Hey, he's so much better at flying than I am. What?
Except for when he was out of focus on that interview.
Oh yeah, my hour-long interview that's completely out of focus. I don't.
That was good.
Every shot of the film I'm in is out of focus.
This is the first indication that Moses is trying to help them round people up, right?
Yeah. Three years later.
Yeah.
So this begins a major plot point in the film about finding the car. And that ends up dominating the next 45 minutes of the movie. It's just like, where's the car? The car. The one that was rented. The car. Where's the car?
That's such a great line.
It literally, yeah, that's my favorite Shane line. The car which was rented. The rented one. That car. Where is it? The car with wheels that drives.
I have to say the sunglasses in this movie were impeccable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of Orions.
A lot of Orions represented. Yeah.
A lot of product placement of Orion sunglasses.
They're the best sunglasses in the world.
True that.
If you want
sunglasses on Earth,
best sunglasses on Earth, no joke. If you want some, contact Shane. He'll hook you up. There's Logan's mug.
I'm already talking about the movie coming out.
This was also not in Africa.
Yeah, this was in Arizona.
Yeah, Paul's like, I need you to grow that beard again. I'm like, I don't grow a beard, Paul.
It took him like 3 weeks to grow the beard.
He's like, you got to grow it out. I'm like, I look ridiculous. What are you talking about? And he's like, you got to grow it out.
It took him the whole 3 years since the trip. That's what we're waiting on to make the movie.
Right.
We were waiting for the beard to come in.
All right, you got it. Logan's beard held up the movie.
It's like we're hoping to come out with the movie in 2020, but it all depends on the beard. And Paul was actually telling people that if they donated to Framing the World, it would somehow speed up his beard. I don't know how that was going to work, but
yeah, Paul was buying supplements. We were putting creams on it.
Yeah, this is the infamous scene that I got a lot of flack for recording.
We're looking for the rental car.
This one?
Oh, this is the best part.
Yeah. The car that was rented.
We are looking for the rental car. Yes.
It didn't matter what she said. He's just like, the car, we're looking for the car. We're looking for
it. The car that was rented, we're looking for it. Hey, we need to make like a Yoda meme of Shane, like, the car that was rented, looking for, we are. Shane as Yoda.
with an Orion t-shirt.
Yeah, Yoda wearing an Orion t-shirt.
I can't wait to see it because I'm sure it's coming now.
Well, the reason I'm so close to this phone is because the recorder was on top of the camera.
Well,
so
you're trying to get the sound.
I'm trying to get the sound. I'm not worried about the video.
We just want to know where the car is. That's the theme for the next 40 minutes of the film. The quest for the car.
You know what we should have called? We should have called this film Deported. We should have called it Dude, Where's
My Car? Dude, Where's My Car is the tagline of the film. Yeah. That was an alternate title of the film for a while.
So. Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah.
We got to go. Yeah, we all knew at that point that she was setting us up.
Yeah, let's go. We're being set up.
They have sold us out.
We gotta go.
Neo sold us out.
And then right there, he just went up in the he was actually in the immigration building, going floor by floor trying to find Garrett.
There's a cool time.
Yep.
Oh man, that stuff was so good.
Yeah.
It, no matter what was going on, if you got some cool time, it just relaxed.
It did make everything better.
Yeah. Then at the end of the movie, like. There's the scene about Paul just eating this horrible slop and just being with all these crack addicts, laying on the floor next to all this urine and feces and everything. And then Neo's explanation is just like, oh, I was just worried about my brother's job or something.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that was left out of the film is what, this is one of the reasons I was so nervous. Like, I showed up, I came in, and this guy, like, I don't know, an hour after I got in, was like, I like your pants.
Right.
I want your pants.
That's not what you want to hear when you get thrown in a third world.
And this guy, and this guy was wearing no shirt, all right? Just shorts, and he was just ripped. And I was just like, oh, I'm going to die in here. Like, I'm not cut out.
I was not made for prison.
Get all of this stuff together. And bring it back with
3 years later.
We're all going to meet up at church at 6 because...
Paul, you still have nightmares about that?
Yeah, I do. That was in Africa, though, 3 years later.
Basically, any shots outside of a car.
A lot of people don't realize that Paul grew up in Africa.
Yeah.
Some people forget that fact.
This is one of my favorite shots of the whole film. I love that overhead shot. I think the one of
that roundabout.
Yeah, that's why I use it twice in this.
Yeah, it's interesting because the first time it shows up, it looks different than the second time.
But it's the same shot.
But it's the same shot. But it's because like the spirit of the film has changed so much.
Yeah.
Because the first time it looks really beautiful, and then the second time it looks kind of ominous.
Yeah.
Did you notice that too, Paul?
Yeah, but I didn't notice it until after you pointed it out to me. And then after you pointed out, I was like, yeah, you're right.
It's weird because you feel so different at this point in the film than earlier. Because earlier it's a really optimistic part of the film. And then this is like kind of an uncertain part.
This is Dude, Where's My Car? And then it's like a 45-minute phone call as well. It's like a phone call about the car. But it's still interesting.
No,
like,
it's great.
I don't know how it turned out interesting. It's just us filming phones.
It's just so much zoomed in on a phone. This is like after the tribulation. We're zooming in on the phone.
What's that, Shane?
I said it's great that you filmed it because you wouldn't have it in the movie, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we wouldn't have remembered this. You know, a lot of things we forgot. And I reviewed it in the footage and like, oh, yeah, that happened.
I remember this phone call. I remember while I was talking to Shane, and then I asked him, who are you with or whatever, and he didn't answer. I'm like, oh, okay, they probably think I'm in on it or I'm trying to, like, sniff them out or something. I could just tell.
Well, they all thought you were – I was like, no, he seemed cool. He just seemed
– No, I had those immigration guys near me. I didn't want to say too much, but, you know.
Yeah, we could tell you were being careful what you were saying.
Yeah. So I'm out of focus there because I didn't want to show his phone number.
Well, no, it's just you're focused on that one finger. There's one thing in focus.
Yeah. Right there, I'm trying to not show his phone number.
See, he didn't seem like he was being.
So I blurred it.
He said there's something funny going on.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know.
It's a good thing you did that, otherwise Gigabo would be calling me up, like, ripping my head off.
He's trying to give, like, a code to them. Like, so, is anything funny going on? Yeah. Yeah, because it already cost us, like, probably, like, $14,000 to reroute the people's flights that we had to reroute, which was a bunch of people. But if everybody would have gotten deported, man, it would have cost the church, like, 30, 40 grand, let alone all the, then all the soul winning would have ceased.
Yeah, people, the people that say you should have gone home are ridiculous.
And people, well, because it would have cost like 30-some thousand dollars, and, you know, it, people would have had to go through the whole ordeal with, you know, getting interrogated and ruining the trip.
And even if we would have left earlier, like a lot of people
suggested. Oh, this is my favorite part from Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good part.
My favorite part is like, okay, Pastor, that sounds like a great plan, except here's the only problem. I have no money, no clothes, no passport, no ID. And I'm just like, well, you just need to stay with somebody who has those things, and then you'll be okay.
Like, I have no passport. How does that work?
Paul's look on his face when you say that.
Yeah. That's the best part of the movie is just like, I have no clothes, no passport. We need to make a trailer of just that one part.
Here it comes. Here's his face. They were
Moses was acting super weird.
They've both been tainted. They've been tainted.
That was that that dreadful mountain that we climbed just to get these shots. That was the worst climb of my life. No, the worst climb of my life is when I went past her that one time. But this is
not the first or the last time that question is going to be asked. So you have my car? I wonder if somebody's ever counted like how many times
someone asked that.
Yeah.
That drone shot that they just shot, that was pretty cool because we did that from across the street. You remember that, Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that's showing now, that drone shot before was from there. So we flew it from across the street.
I like how it's called the Massa Hotel.
Yeah, down to the center.
Subliminal message.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, this audio is horrible. That's why I just had... We had to put subtitles.
You can do this film as a workout. Every time the car is mentioned, you do 10 burpees. Every time they're asking, like, where's the car? Hey, Garrett, I'm not
going to get deported if I go there, right? No one's hiding out for me. Oh, my goodness.
Every time oh, boy. This was a fun film, though.
Actually, the other burpee game you can play is Where Are You?
Yeah, where are you?
Yeah, where are you?
Okay, this is your setup, right, Garrett? It's so funny how we're just taking pleasure in Paul's misery here.
That sounds weird. You can always laugh about it later.
Later, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, okay, right?
Well, Garrett, I never got a straight answer out of Garrett. Because he did not leave the keys where he said he was going to leave the keys. Okay. And
why didn't he do that? That was so weird.
I don't know.
Massa lives.
Yep,
Massa.
Yeah, never got a straight answer out of him.
We need to use that frame as like some kind of a Massa logo.
If someone's in contact with him, ask him.
I remember that hotel had an epic breakfast buffet. They did have that. Yeah, that was like the best meal you could get. In Botswana was that.
No,
the Massa breakfast buffet.
It was outside of that. Remember the safe house? Remember that restaurant?
Yeah,
that
for
was
dinner.
The, that was the
for
best.
For dinner at
that
the Wildlife the Preserve, yeah.
It's funny.
I always love that part. Like, everything is just going to hell in a handbasket. Hey, man, I was thinking about going on a safari. I always thought that's a funny line.
In the middle of all this was some guy that we don't even know. They want to pay a huge amount of money and go like 20 hours north somewhere and stay with the lions.
Six hours north. All right,
thanks. All right, bye. No, it was like farther than that. But still, even 6 hours with some guy we don't know, pay him like $300-$400 each, right, and go to sleep in a tent somewhere. And everybody's like trying to sign up to go. And
it would have been awesome, but no, it would have changed the whole mood.
There, hopefully, we can get everything we need and continue on with this trip. But I'm a little nervous because
it's the car scene, right?
Yeah.
Really and he's really going to be low key, and then the alarm goes off. It's
well,
like
because we had to break into the car because Garrett didn't leave the keys, so we had to reach. We had to get our hand because the windows were rolled down a little bit, so we had to get our hand in, unlock the door to get in the car. That's why when we opened it, the alarm went off.
And
and luckily the car had those seats were in the back because all our stuff was in the trunk, so we had to go to the back seat and put the seats down and then get our stuff
so that,
to the trunk.
That is my car.
Yeah,
that's my wife's car.
This is the alarm scene. This is like the alarm scene in Beyond Jordan.
Yeah,
it's a throwback.
Yeah. Okay, guys, don't forget to go in the chat. I'm going to put it right now. Don't forget to vote. Take the survey on what's your favorite Frame in the World film. Make sure you take this survey. I just put it in the chat.
Paul, what's your favorite Frame in the World film?
Between this and Fluoride and Babylon. I don't know, man. Every time I watch it, I'm like, oh, that's my favorite. And then I watch the other one. I'm like,
they're all awesome. I probably like Marching Design the most, but they're all good.
Now all we have to do is figure out how.
The one I like the least is After, for sure.
And that's the one that was the biggest success.
The most popular, yeah.
Why didn't you like that one?
He's just learned so much since then, probably. Like,
it's not that I just didn't have any money. It's not that I learned stuff. I just didn't have any money to make it good.
It was a hit, though. It's all about the content, man. It's gotten well over 15 million views on YouTube. Probably 17 million or something by now.
So
the Spanish upload alone makes up like 12 million views, and then I think the English had about 5 million.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny that the Spanish version of After the Tribulation got more views than the English?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, I sold like 10 of those DVDs.
Dubbing that into Spanish, remember when we were at the studio doing that? That was hard.
Yeah. Got millions of views and sold 10 DVDs.
Yeah, nobody bought it, but they all watched it.
I just want to get myself and get out of here.
Yeah, it literally, last time I looked at it.
So, how did you feel like driving up to the church for the last time and you were going to gut the church? Like,
it was pretty emotional, honestly, because, you know, we had all these plans and, you know.
We'd been planning for months.
Yeah. Every day.
We had two services.
Yeah, so a lot went into this building. I mean, I can't even imagine how much man hours went into setting up this building, getting the chairs, getting everything
worked
together.
You know how it is when you're calling people in Africa? They don't call you back.
No,
and you're trying to call them from the U.S. and set all this up.
Well, you send them a million emails, and they never get back to you.
It took us months to set this up.
Yeah.
We rented it. We paid the rent. We went through all this paperwork.
And then bam.
And then it was just like two services. But, you know, it lives on in the film. It's worth it.
Man,
I have no regrets.
I really liked Ryan. It's too bad he won't talk to us or he's gone off the deep end.
Pastor Anderson is getting thanked on the airplane.
Pastor, you preached Paul's most favorite sermon in Botswana at that church.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right there.
Out of all those sermons.
And you know what's funny is I did not hear the sermon on the day you preached it. It wasn't until, you know, a year later. Because
you were you're so focused on filming, you're probably not even paying attention.
No, I didn't hear it at all.
Yeah.
It really would have helped me when I was in that jail cell.
Everyone's still sold. Yeah, plans have changed, but the more it changes, it seems like the better everything is. It's the more publicity, the more we're in the paper. That's actually what we want. They actually help us.
At least Ryan does well in the film.
This guy looks like some, like, drug cartel. Like, it looks like.
This is a pretty cool
scene.
He's a
drug
runner. That's a cool scene, yeah.
Yeah.
The lighting, yeah.
Who knows, but at the end of the day, more people are getting saved, and more people are hearing.
Yeah, Kumo's
this is a great line of the film.
Church. Yeah, it is. This is
a purchase shot.
It's
an optical illusion.
Yeah, because Paul's not getting up that early.
No, I am getting up that early.
He gets up that early.
Yeah.
I've traveled with him. When we were in Jordan.
I don't sleep when we're on trips.
And Palestine.
Right. Yeah, for real.
He was getting up at O-Dark 30 every single morning, and he filmed every single sunrise.
Yep. This drone shot here, we had to the managers came out and they didn't want. They were like, "What are you guys doing?" And we offered to give them.
And we sent them all the footage. We sent them.
I'm telling the story.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we offered.
I got excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, we went in there and we wanted to take like drone footage of it. So we went in and offered them free drone footage if they'd let us film the hotel, and they said yes.
So that's yeah, because they could put it on their website or Facebook page. Yeah, and it makes them look great.
That was the perfect way to do it. So if you have a business and you want to film it, just say, hey, I'll give you this footage. And they loved it.
Yeah, I mean,
they got saved, too.
Yeah.
As soon as we saw all those military vehicles in that area, we should have aborted the mission.
So when we went back on this, it seemed like we were all right.
But what was really weird was his car was already gone.
Yeah.
We had what? No idea where when we went back, where? Oh, here.
Because when we saw the military, we at first we were like, oh man, they're crazy. Here. But then they turned off, and we're like, no, they're not here for us.
We're like,
but they were. Criminals. They were.
This was the original trailer for the film that came out. Like this trailer came out like three years ago.
Yeah.
Wait, what's going on? We need a different driver.
People thought it was going to be a horror movie based on this trailer.
Yeah, dude. The army just literally
was a new genre for Paul.
You know what? This is one of the times that I totally spaced and I got so nervous. This was probably the most nervous time I got, besides the jail, obviously. But this, I got so nervous I wasn't filming properly. Like, I was having a panic attack because I thought for sure we were going to get busted because. There was a half track outside of the house there with a bunch of military guys talking to all the neighbors and searching our driver. I thought for sure we were busted and we were going to have to.
But they didn't see you go in the house.
They didn't see us go in the house.
Because they already searched and interrogated Kumo. When you guys get back in the car, they don't stop Kumo again because they'd already cleared him. Yep. So it was just like perfect timing. You guys were so close to getting nailed at this point, though.
Yeah.
Ryan Flagger's like cool as ice. It's like business as usual for him.
Yeah, like people were saying he wasn't cool. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. That guy was like military.
Yeah, he never got, of everything that happened, never got worked up once.
No, that dude was cool as ice, man.
I'm telling you, man. I wish I would have.
He was awesome.
He was enjoying it.
And so Ryan actually got this shot. Like, if it wasn't for Ryan, this shot would not exist. And then you wouldn't believe any of my story.
Moses completely screwed us.
Yeah, Ryan, when he went with me at the airport, and when we got to the airport, he just says, "I'm not going with you." And he says, "I'm out of here." And I shook his hand, and I turned to grab my bag, and he was gone. He, like, disappeared in the day. Like, I never seen him again. Actually, still never seen him to this day.
Hey, and then the whole time Ryan's getting the shot that was so important, you're telling him, like, get out of the window. Get out of there.
I know. I ruined.
Thankfully, he's not listening. He's
like
still
shooting. I could have, and this I still kick myself to this day. I could have got the shot with them outside, getting out of the half track right in front of the house, going all the. I could have got that shot.
Yeah, but what if they saw you though?
I know that was that exactly. That was going through my head. If they see me, then they know I for sure.
They might have seen you if you would have done that. Yeah, so it's probably good the way it worked.
But yeah, but that shot would have been awesome. But you get the point. It still comes through.
He's trying to tell Kumo, just get out of here, leave us alone. But then Kumo's like, no, they already cleared me.
No, well, he knew because he could see it that they left. They weren't around.
Oh, dude, get out of here.
So he's trying to tell you guys.
He's trying to tell us,
like,
get in here. Yeah. But we didn't know how cool he was at that point either.
Like, being a few words, he wouldn't, like, it wasn't like he would explain it, right?
Yeah.
It
was
a
good idea to go.
You're fine.
Yeah.
This is pretty intense scene here.
Yeah. Yeah, at this point, I thought we were... I mean, I was still panicking at this point.
Oh, man.
I think you can tell by my tone, but...
We need to get out of here.
This was on the day. This is what... This is real.
Man, dude. I can't believe we got out of there.
Oh, crap. The army's right there.
Really?
Yeah, God was with us. I mean, every element of this film, it seemed like he was with us. And even though, you know, at the time, you don't think, you know, you think everything's just falling apart. But really, everything happened exactly how it should have.
Turn on the next road, man.
So
why does he suck? Moses.
Moses tried to set us up. That was one of my kids' favorite lines.
Turn on the next road. You need to get down, man. You need to get down.
You need to get down. I was still panicking here. I was just... I didn't keep my cool.
He kept telling him to, like, turn off on the next street. He kept driving. He just kept on tailing that military vehicle.
Hey, he's just... We're going to hide right under their noses.
Right. Yeah.
Hidden in plain sight.
We're hide in plain sight.
Moses, Kumo did that the second trip, too. Remember we had that... he had the rig on the car?
Yeah.
And you... Them like turned... Like, the police were, like, looking at us and pointing at us. And he was, like, just getting closer and closer to them. He, like, turn. And he just... Yeah. Yeah, Kumo is just kind of sometimes just makes some poor decisions.
Yeah, but he's super cool.
Yeah, no, he was cool.
And we got him saved on the trip.
Yeah.
And you got his girlfriend saved, right?
Yep. Actually, we got to go to his house. Remember we went to his house on the second trip?
Yeah.
So who knew you were staying at that hotel?
That was neat.
I think one of the things that doesn't really come across in the film is how many people are there. Because you kind of only see a few of the people, but there's a whole bunch of people that were on this trip that you're not seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, even like people that were on the trip, they watched the film and they didn't know any of this because
they were just doing something different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because weren't there like 20 some people there?
Didn't they have footage?
Yeah, I think that's probably.
No one saw any of this. Well, I guess some people
they weren't filming themselves. Yeah. They didn't film their ordeals.
No, they were just having like a regular time. They were just going out soul winning, like a regular day. Yeah, no stress.
It's
just
true.
Doing their thing.
Yeah.
Well, but not all of them had no stress because, like, just there on the phone, he was saying, "We went down to breakfast. The military was there. We just got out of there because it was you stood out like a sore thumb because you're white.
Yes.
Like it was so easy.
Yes.
How do you hide in Botswana when you're like white?
White with
everybody's
cameras?
Black. And you're white, and they're looking for a bunch of white people. It's like,
yeah.
It's a little hard to hide.
You go to the only hotel there.
Dude, this is intense.
Yeah, and there aren't that many hotels to even choose from.
Two or three hotels. It's like,
really?
They're at the white man's hotel.
This is probably the people I used to track and we used to kill down.
This was actually Ryan's room.
Oh, yeah.
That he let us stay.
Yeah, Ryan paid for...
This is where Ryan's confessing to some...
Yeah,
some things murdering. That he did in the military.
Yeah, he probably didn't want this scene in the
SIM cards, phones.
Yeah, Ryan did not want to be in this film.
How crazy is this, man?
It's pretty crazy.
No one wanted to be in this film.
That's what I was asking. Like,
at the time, they all did. They knew you were pointing the camera at them.
I know, and they all did interviews. I flew Ryan.
I remember. Yeah.
Phoenix to do an interview.
I remember that.
Like we shot so many interviews for this film, but I just
they didn't even make it into the film.
No, none of them made it in the film because I just figured. I wanted to make it seem like you were just it was you're in it, you know.
It's better. I really agreed with that. Like I did not want you to be constantly cutting to interviews. You know that like reality TV style where they're constantly cutting to interviews. I don't like that. I like it better when it's just on location.
Yeah. But I thought
they were looking at because the movie flows better that way.
Yeah. It feels like you're in the action. I like it.
Explain this, Logan.
What?
Explain this. I presented this newspaper. What do you mean what?
Well, I can't hear it, so I don't know what's happening.
It's Logan, it's the part where basically
how does he not know the part?
They hold up the newspaper.
Why are you acting like you haven't seen this film 20
Are you talking about
times?
The waitresses?
Yes.
Yeah, it was epic. Yeah. So they're all just looking at us and we're sitting outside, we've been dealing with all this. And they bring up the paper and they're like, "Are you him?" And we just try to make a joke like, "Oh, what do you think? We're all every white guy is the same." You're like, "That's not him. Come on, are you close?" And then they leave and we just look at each other like, "We got to get out of here right now."
Yeah.
Didn't they bring the newspaper to you? And
yeah, they brought the newspaper. Yeah, like, this is you, right? And we're like, no.
They held up the newspaper and showed it to him, and he's just like, "I know not the man."
So now Paul's like, "I got to shave my face. Logan, here's the camera. You got to film me.
And
shave
like,
my face."
They're like, "Art thou not a Galilean? Thy skin color betrayeth thee." And he's like, "I tell you, I know him not."
So that shot of you see of me shaving there, that was the only shot of me shaving that was in focus.
Well, you only need one, Paul.
I know. I was just very
That's the
angry.
Thing. I hate
angry.
It when Paul hands me the camera and tells me to film something because he always tells me I was out of focus.
Right, then he just
time.
Yells at you the whole time. Like, you're
so
doing it wrong.
Yeah, but here's how I fixed it, though. On Beyond Jordan, I literally got like 20 or 30 of my camera shots in the film.
Yeah, because you used the iPad.
Because I used the iPad. So I got a lot of my shots in the film by using the iPad. Because on the iPad, it's all autofocus.
I'm not saying I did a great job filming. I'm just...
That's why I could never...
Like, look at this. This is the roughest shot ever.
I could never be a filmmaker if it weren't for iPhone and iPad and GoPro. Because, like, I cannot... I don't have the eye for the focus. Like, I cannot get things in focus. And that's why I could never be a cameraman. Is it just you just have to have a certain eye for it, Paul, or what? I mean,
yeah, and luck, some luck too. I mean,
because it's hard.
I shoot all on manual. I get a lot of stuff out of focus.
But it's
I mean,
it's
this
hard.
Is a rough scene
to get it in focus. Yeah. I've never, according to Paul, I've never gotten anything in focus ever. So that's why I don't gamble because I don't have the luck.
Paul loves to fire cameraman. I got fired too for a soul winning event. He says you suck as a cameraman.
Yeah, next time you just need to. Yeah, he's like.
That wasn't you. Here, film.
Paul's like, you suck. You have always sucked.
So aggressive.
That's not even like just hold the camera a certain way. It's just you suck.
Yeah, you have to. That's why you got to do the iPhone next time, guys. That's the only way Paul will use your footage. You got to do the iPhone.
But you know, I say it out of love though.
It doesn't sound like it in the time.
He just hands you the camera and he's just like, "Can you please get this in focus this time?" And you're just like,
and then he runs off too. He's not like giving any direction. He just hands
no direction. Just like get it right.
Well, shouldn't you just know what I want? We've known each other long enough. I don't think her Skype we hung out here every night. This was the most beautiful scene.
This place
ever.
Was epic.
It was epic.
And it was like a beautiful like 15-minute walk from our place too. So we walked down the road at night.
Every night we had some, and it was great food. That's the only place we got
good
food.
Yeah, you're watching
the
animals come up and do the salt lick right next to where you're eating. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't good the second time though.
No, it was horrible the second time. Yeah, tell them about the food the second time. Really made you rethink the first time.
Yeah, they had nothing. Remember, like,
well, the reason because that there was a famine, wasn't there? Like,
famine. Yeah,
there was a famine that swept through, and
after this trip happened, there was a major drought and famine that came through both South Africa and Botswana.
Yep,
and they were even like, even the government leaders were like calling for people to pray and stuff because it was such a bad drought and everything. So. She doesn't want to talk on it. God really blessed him after they kicked us all out, huh?
Man, I'm glad that he read that email, too. A lot of things just worked out. This is one of my favorite shots of the film.
Yeah, that is a beautiful shot.
A beautiful place, actually, that we went to.
Yeah, we were not supposed to be... We were told no drones in this park as well.
That's a beautiful shot.
So we had to do that very... This was a sunrise shot that I got. I had to get this shot... I stayed up... I woke up 3 mornings in a row to get this shot, and I did it wrong 2 of the mornings. Hello. That was on the third morning, so that ate up all my sleep for 3 days just to get that one shot.
No.
Yeah, and that one thing you're not saying is that shot takes like hours. It takes like 4 or 5 hours to do it, right?
Time lapse. Yeah.
So
I
think the state.
Okay.
Another phone call. Imagine that.
For what?
This is a very telling phone call.
Okay.
It was hard to get a shot of that place where we were at. Just because there's so many trees, it's just hiding everything.
Yeah.
I think, because you guys only went Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is that...
Who's chewing?
Oh. It's Rob.
Sorry, guys.
That was a loud chew.
He said he's got lots of snacks.
Oh, what? We have popcorn up here. Did you want more popcorn, Pastor?
No, I'm good. I ate the whole bag. I don't want to go overboard. All things in moderation.
Okay, we got to go. Thank you. But we'll call you back.
Huh? Wait, huh? Bye. Huh? What? I love how the last thing out of her mouth is just like, huh? What?
And this is where you see kind of all of our group. Well, part of it.
Yeah, but there's still a bunch of people. There's a ton of people on the trip that weren't at that.
Yeah. I think we're only all together in that one reuniting shot. That was like it. This is Logan, level-headed Logan.
So this is how every day is gone. So far, we wake up,
thinking, shaved oh ball. Man, this is a great day.
That was awesome.
Jay
awesome
did a phenomenal job cooking breakfast almost every day.
That was an awesome meal. Yeah.
A good day.
Jay did
I never
job
ate anything all like that when I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as we started.
I didn't see that meal. That looks good.
Hey, Shane, how nervous were you carrying all that, like, knowing that you had the film and all that extra stuff with you?
Actually,
going through the border.
The last Canadian this scene here where I'm leaving, what led me to up to that was they went to go soul winning in some town, and then Ryan called and said, turn around because the military's coming. So the first card went with Paul and I think Logan and stuff with Kumo, and they were coming back to get a second car. And they turned around after Ryan called them, and the military, like three military trucks went by.
Yeah, and that never made it in the film either.
Yeah, they were like, oh, the military was coming to get us. And I just thought, you know what? I'm taking off. I'm like, Paul, we need to get the movie out of here, so let me take it out. So at that point, I didn't think I was going to have any problems. When I went to the airport, I thought it was going to be pretty similar to Pastor Anderson and you, Rob, that they wouldn't say anything, but when they found my laptop, they told me they were going to go through it. So I got really nervous.
Yeah, because I remember we were talking, like, me and you were on the phone back and forth while you were there and I was in South Africa, and you were like, yeah, I think I'm going to leave. I'm going to head over there and stuff like that.
So yeah. Now what we're trying to so decide, I wasn't so nervous leaving. Paul can't. But like I said, when they pulled out my laptop and they started interrogating me and all that stuff and threatening me, I thought for sure I was going to be in trouble with that, with the movie. Thank God I had a Mac.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
You smuggled the movie out, man.
Yeah.
Everyone can thank you for seeing this film. Because I didn't have the film when I left.
Well, yeah.
Didn't you have a copy too?
I had a big chunk of it, yeah.
Yeah, you had a... Yeah,
we all kind of had it.
No one had all of it. It was kind of like because
we had made a bunch of copies. And we all had a little bit of it.
Yeah, and I lost like I don't know how this happened, but somehow I lost like the last three shots of the film, like me going to the airport.
Yeah, we have multiple.
I don't know what happened to that film. I still don't know what happened to that footage. I still kick myself to this day because it would have been great in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that why you had it? You had it done up like a cartoon at the end?
No. I did that just because we didn't have any footage of that. I'm talking before that.
Oh.
Yeah, I kiboshed that scene. Paul wanted to go back in the jail and actually undercover film the jail cells, and I said, absolutely no way on the second trip.
Yeah,
I can see Jay like under no circumstances am I going back into that jail.
I told him very firmly if they did it, I was going to hunt them down. And it wouldn't be pleasant.
Well, yeah, so that was part of the reason why we actually got footage of the jail. Sam Osborne went back and got footage of the actual jail I was in. But the problem is I only had like parts of the footage. I didn't have enough to tell the whole story with the footage. So what we did is we took the footage and based drawings off the footage and then filled in gaps. Just so it was all consistent. I don't know if that makes sense, what I just said. But
yeah, so basically, at least the drawings were based on reality because had images of the real thing, and then that's what the drawings were based on.
Yeah, so basically what
made
I...
made it better.
Yeah. So basically what I did is I drew, like, a basic drawing, and then John Ball, who is good at drawing, redrew it, like storyboards. And then we took those storyboards and sent them to the storyboard artist and then took pictures of me in all those poses. So I'd, like, lay on the ground and then would take a picture from the spot we need it. And then the storyboard artist took all that information and put it together. He did a great job.
He did a really good job.
Yeah, it came out cool.
Well, I remember telling you about that, and then... It didn't seem... I didn't know any other way to do it.
This was a pretty epic dinner. That was when we did our...
it was an epic...
Our safari.
It was super...
That was a pretty awesome dinner.
Yeah, it was a pretty awesome day. And that was coming back.
I remember I brought this cheap camera. I was trying to film the cheetah, and Paul's just, like, yelling at me because I have a bad camera. Like, it's my... Like, how dare I disgrace him with
this camera. The funniest thing was when we were in Jordan... with Pastor Jimenez, he pulled out one of those like 1990s digital cameras. Remember back in the 90s, those digital cameras were just like the hottest thing. He literally pulls one out in like 2018 And we were just like, what in the world? And then the other funny thing Pastor Jimenez had on the trip was like, he had like a Bible. Instead of a Bible app, it was like a little computer Bible. Like something that's just totally been replaced by phones. Do you remember that, Paul?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was just like an electronic. It was a handheld electronic.
Yeah,
Bible.
He must have got that when he was like just out of high school.
Yeah, it was literally from like the early 90s, totally replaced by a smartphone app. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, this is all legit. That was me 3 years
Pastor ago. Pastor Jimenez just takes such good care of his stuff that like it just lasts for decades. Decades later, he's still using it.
What's up?
Yeah.
What'd they say about what's in our bag?
So.
Oh, is this the knife, axe, and poison?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The book on how to escape from prison?
Look at his face. He's like, what?
Look at his face.
Yeah, I did not have that book. I don't know. They were just trying to pin anything they could on us.
Paul, this is like torture for you, like of what's to come.
So yeah. Two books. Well, I knew it. I knew
how to escape from prison for dummies.
I knew as soon as I got to the airport, this, I knew everything that was going to happen, and it all happened.
Oh man, I'm surprised you didn't put a scene in the movie where you're just like praying, saying, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me."
I believe I'm filming this right now.
Yeah, you're filming it. Yeah, and you do a great job.
Right? See? Yeah. Good focus, right? I've probably been yelled at by like 30 times by Paul by now, so I kind of got to figure it out.
The funny thing was that like Paul had a book about fluoride poisoning the tap water, and so they were trying to say that he was a terrorist that was coming to poison their water supply with fluoride. So wasn't that what they were trying to say, Paul?
Exactly, yeah. And I kept telling them, like, no, it's about fluoride. You know, you toothpaste, fluoride in the toothpaste. It's good for you. Well, it's
and
not good for you.
And they're just like, what's real toothpaste? Sternly. It was the only time you've ever advocated for fluoride in your life. You're like, come on, it's good for your teeth.
So what would you do if you were in my position?
So whose backyard in Arizona is this?
This is Lisa Palumbo's.
The lady went to swipe my passport, and when she swiped my passport, she just like stopped, and I see like her eyes open, and I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So then she like she kind of
we're just ruining the film for everybody.
Just wait a second, sir. And I said, am I under arrest? And they're like, no. So they took me to this immigration room. I waited there about an hour and a half. They got my luggage up.
All right, so hey,
yeah, but you get an Academy Award for this performance, Paul, of these last couple minutes because you look really stressed out. Like, I mean, look at that; he's a great actor.
Pastor, he's just being—he's not even acting; he's just being himself.
Yeah, but this is him. Like 3 years later, after everything's fine in the comfort of Arizona.
Pastor, it's not fine. Trust me, it's not fine.
People are like, how did he have the equipment to do this moving shot overhead?
Yeah, all the fancy, cool shots, those are all secondary.
Yeah. But it's what happened. Like,
well, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, everything that happened is what happened. We were just kind of recreating it. We have, actually, this scene, we have the...
You have the original, it's just this one looks better.
It was horrible.
Yeah, this one's just more focused and looking good. So.
But it's literally like word for word. We
look at that acting. Look at the skill.
Yeah. All right, let's not talk about that.
He's a pro, man.
All right, let's no more.
Hey, Shane, we have some people in the chat asking about this shirt and your sweater, if they're available anywhere.
Yeah, they have to contact me through my through email.
There you go. Hit up Shane.
Yeah.
Do you want to give that out or no?
Yeah. Should I put it in the chat? Or
yeah, put it in the chat.
It would say it out loud, though, for people who are not...
So
basically
so go to ssjansz at yahoo.ca. So we have the T-shirt and the hoodie, too. So.
Yeah.
And then just contact me, and then I can go through whatever pricing or whatever.
I don't think I've ever been this nervous in my whole life. So... it was pretty intense. I won't lie.
So, Paul, they're asking who's right, the girl well, that I'm sees you on a Skype call and starts crying. That's we'll your sister, soon, right? Right?
Yeah, that's my sister. Yep.
All right, man. You take care.
Yeah, she was really nervous. My wife was in a wreck.
My wife was saying that she doesn't get a lot of movie time in here of just how much work they were doing to get you.
They were calling, like,
just basically,
yeah,
like 24 hours a day.
Yeah, they were calling the embassy, and this is in the middle of the night, so they stayed up all night. They had to take care of the kids all day and then stay up all night calling the embassy because it's different time zones, trying to get us out. But I think that was one of the reasons why. It's because my wife called the embassy so much. Yep. I think that's why it... Because I was going to be in there for 14 days. Right. I signed papers. Like, I was going to be in there. And then they just, out of nowhere, they just let me out.
Yeah, because they just kept pushing that. Like, you can't hold an American for no reason. You know, like,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the reason or not.
Well, they definitely, it was, you know, because they put in so much time calling and harassing them.
Yeah, I definitely put on a couple pounds on that shot. Oh. Yeah, I put on a lot of weight. Yeah,
Ramon just called him out.
It's so true. All right, guys, make sure to support us on Patreon if you can.
It's funny, so many people at the first showing of the theater, they all got up and left at the scene.
I know.
Did they really?
Like, Lola got up and left.
They thought it was over?
Wow.
Yeah, they just got up and still left, and I was at the back door because there was a problem with the film glitching a little bit. So I had to, like, sit down, it's not over. And then I think Pastor Fritz actually got them all rounded up to sit down, and it was funny.
It's like they can't even wait 5 seconds after the film's done. It makes you wonder if they even liked it.
Yeah. Well, as soon as they see the pork, that's it.
Don't be bitter, Paul.
Yeah. Well, it's good that you put some good time here because everybody had enough time to go and sit down. You know?
Hello?
It was a good few seconds there.
Well, it was really tough for me to figure out the end of this film. I had, like, the whole film done, and it took, like, 2 weeks just to figure out how to end this thing. And I think it turned out great, though.
The ending's perfect.
Yeah, I think it ultimately turned out great, but it was a lot of bashing my head against the wall to make it work.
Yeah, Paul, you really captured, like, the flavor of, you know, what happened there and how you ended it and everything in this film. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. As soon as thanks. I appreciate that. The look on the guy's face really said everything. I knew right then and there that I I really liked the film. You know, at first I thought it was boring. I was like, no one's going to like this scene because I've seen it so many times. But it seems like most people liked it. And we're still doing the survey here, guys. Make sure to take this survey. I want to see what we'll show you the results at the end of this stream.
No, it definitely seems like so far it's been a big hit.
Yeah.
And it's been getting a lot of views. I mean, it's only been up for less than 2 days, and it's getting a lot of views.
Yeah.
To this unmarked facility. Yep. They took me into this really fancy boardroom.
Are you able to check the demographic and see how many anybody's watching in South Africa?
Yeah, I can check. I haven't checked yet. It'll be a few days before those stats are in.
Yeah, I would just wait a month.
But remember, I'm running ads in Botswana, so thousands and thousands of people in Botswana have already seen it for sure. Because I do have the stats on the how the ad is performing and stuff. So, but hopefully within the next 7 days, it should be in every single news feed of everybody in Botswana that has a Facebook account. Like,
are there any comments that people post?
Oh yeah, like there's been a bunch of good comments. Oh, cool. People like, oh, I remember this guy, or oh yeah, this preacher, this guy's telling the truth and stuff. Yeah, there were a lot of good comments.
Whoa, someone wrote in the comments, my favorite now is the Book of Revelation series. Yeah, people love that. Even though you're preaching to like four people.
Well, I constantly, when I'm out preaching places and I ask people, so how'd you hear about us? A lot of them say the first thing they watched was the Revelation series. That's a big one. Comes up a lot.
Well, it's the
content. Paul, didn't you guys finish that whole series in like a week? You guys crammed.
Yeah, it was like every single day.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that because it's a kind of a touchy subject with Pastor and I.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was a little touchy. We had a hard drive failure and had to
I already had to preach like 22 sermons in this incredibly short amount of time.
Like 7 days, right?
And then he has
22 sermons.
Well, no, we did it in two weeks.
Oh,
two separate.
It two?
We did
okay.
it. We crammed a bunch into 1 week and a bunch in another week. But
we
like
only did
sermons.
No, we only did the second week because of the hard drive failure, wasn't it?
No, we we weren't going to get them all
done. I'm forgetting.
But yeah, we were trying to jam like 22 sermons into like 2 weeks. And then he has a hard drive failure, and I have to re-preach some of them. And I was just like,
I feel like you guys are really getting to know me on this stream.
And then ever since that happened, every time we make a movie, I'm always just like, so Paul, you're backing this up, right? Right? We got a backup, right, Paul?
Well, yeah, and now I always back
Paul, things
up.
Can you show with your camera all the...
I can't.
You can't turn the camera?
No,
and show?
I don't want to screw
He's
up
He's got
everything.
An entire bookshelf, just like all these hard drives backed up everything.
Yeah, I got a lot, everything backed up now. I'm real... picky about that. But even though I back up everything, really remember Babylon USA, I had two hard drive failures on that. About 30 hours, I had to recover it. It cost so much money.
Yeah, because the primary and the backup died.
Yeah,
the primary. Our hard drives are just terrible. They only, even if everything works right, their lifespan is like 3 to 5 years, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like the worst technology.
Well, they're better now because they're not, they don't have the.
Yeah, because they don't fail as much as they used to. Yeah. But man, they used to fail so much.
This is a really telling interview, and I think it sums it up because she never gave us a straight answer when we were interviewing her. Okay, guys, she always beat around the bush and kind of dodged the question. But this statement,
I like how Moses is like, just give me one day, I'll get them, I'll deliver them to you.
I know, and
give me 24 hours.
And she's saying, and that's when I called, so she was part of that.
Yeah,
she's putting herself part of that.
Yeah, he's telling the government, give me a day and I'll deliver them all to you. And then she's like, all right, let's call them.
Yeah, I'll help you.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate those associate producers and the executive producers that made this film possible.
He lied under oath.
This Gigaba.
There is no
Gigaba.
Way for him now to escape.
Remember you kept calling him the wrong name?
Gigaba?
Yeah, Gigaba.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, I'd never heard it pronounced. I thought that an I comes after a G, you know? I mean, I just...
Well, so this news footage, if you look, I redid all this news footage. If you look at the... I redid all the graphics at the bottom there. I did it exactly how they did it. I just redid it.
You just made it look better.
I made it cleaner so it looked...
You'd think that a professional news agency could have lower thirds that look as good as what you're doing. It's like, dude, maybe they should hire you. This
is a guy. Yeah, you can go back to Africa.
Yeah. Yeah, no thanks. And I,
so this guy had presidential aspirations.
Yeah.
Now he's just toast. Serves him right.
Some more associate producers there.
A dramatic arrest of one of the West once powerful men in Botswana, former intelligence chief Isaac Khosi.
Yeah, that's the
guy.
This guy's
all
there.
Got what was coming to him.
Yeah.
In front of his family as well, and members of the public at the Sir Seretse Khama International Airport. The charges he faces, tax evasion.
I'm sure he has some dirt on those people.
I'm going to topple the government, I'm telling you.
So when the missions trip that you saw in this film,
did you give the numbers here, Pastor?
Home,
did you include the second trip too? In the over 1,000 or whatever?
No, I wasn't even counting the second trip. No.
So it's even more then.
Oh yeah,
I think 160 on the second.
I was
trip.
Mainly counting. I was counting the initial trip and then. Sam and the other people that were soul winning for the next like 9 months.
That was a really cool experience right there, Shane, wasn't it? When you got to preach to those school kids.
Yeah, that was just by a fluke too, right?
Yeah, that was awesome. They worked with some of the
locals and took the locals. Actually, I sent one of the teachers there, the one on the right there. I sent her the link to the movie because she was on my WhatsApp.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that school right there. They loved us for doing that. They were real appreciative.
Yeah.
Over 1,000 more people got saved in the following 7 months. It was just so receptive.
There's my wife in the background
to
with the kids.
And do more, and we got a lot more done.
I told her, go stand back
still
there.
A lot more left to do, so we're hoping that someone will see this film and pick up where we left off.
Well, you were in the film pretty much the whole time. It's just your voice kind of was in the second half. Mm-hmm. So these,
you recreated all these too, because They were just written articles.
Yeah, they were written articles, and I paid someone to redo this. So if you're wondering, I can't find
this one was real.
This was real, yeah. I just redid the graphics, the lowers, right there.
Niet welkom.
Yeah, that was real, too. That was real. Onze staatssecretaris Harbers gevraagd hem als ongewenst
vreemdeling de toegang tot het land te ontzeggen. Kind of a lot of those countries that are in that Schengen thing, there are a lot of facing a hard hit coronavirus.
Well, what was funny is that, you know, the Schengen area banned me, and then Trump banned the entire Schengen area a couple months ago. So it's like, Schengen area bans Pastor Anderson. Trump banned the whole Schengen area. Norway, Poland,
Portugal, Slovakia. Good old Mesa footage.
Yeah, so that was my graphic there. The whole world and Schengen area. And then that's footage I got at the NASA conference.
Yep,
that's mine. Legal power for the first time. I have signed the exclusion order under my executive powers. And then this was a recreated news clip. Australia
has joined more than 30 countries. So people are asking what happened with the rental car. Like, what was the ultimate?
I had to pay a ton of money to get it for the extra days, but that's it. I mean, I returned it.
Did you actually return it, or did they just go and pick it up?
No, they gave it. So basically, when they let me go, they gave me all my bags, equipment, and my rental car. And they drove, you know, it to the back to the airport. Yeah.
So they had the rental car the whole time.
Yeah.
When it gets a parental advisory label,
more people buy the album. And so by banning my preaching, they're actually just making it more popular.
You sum this up perfectly.
That was a great ending.
Pastor.
Whoever gave you that advice was great.
No one gave it to him. He just did it. All over the world that are going to continue this work. I was like, we need an ending. I was like, but I don't know what it is. The people that do their God. Nailed it, Pastor.
The Bible says in the last days will do great exploits.
And so I'm glad. Well, did we do this twice, Pastor?
Because if it means more people
hear the word of God, I don't know. Praise God for being deported. Well, I kind of just really wanted it to end on the word deported.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do it in such a way where that would be the last word said in the film.
So that's it, right?
So
that's the film. All right. Well, hey, can we check out?
Yep, you gave me my camera credit. I see it.
Did I?
Yep.
Okay. Ooh.
I got my due.
Okay, so 25 and it's a tie. Oh, we got to switch to this camera. Hold on. Six. Okay, so this is the results of the survey here, guys. So, right now we have Marching to Zion and Deported is tied at 25
nice.
Each.
Wow.
And then we have New World Order Bible versions, then Babylon USA. Then Babylon USA. What? Babylon USA is way better. You people.
Well, I agree with Marching to Zion getting a lot of votes.
25. Come on, people. We need a tiebreaker. Killing us. Yeah, it's still tied. All right, anyways.
You gave credits to Mug and Bean?
Yeah.
You got to put everybody in the credits.
Mug and Bean on the second trip and tell them their coffee was horrible every day?
Oh, junk.
Every day he would go, make me a good coffee, and the guy would make him a special coffee, and he'd go back and say, that coffee wasn't good.
That sounds like Paul.
Every day.
Just harassing people. Yeah.
You guys are making me sound like I'm a horrible person.
As long as this is what I've gone on a lot of trips with Paul, and this is what I've learned. As long as you keep him filled with coffee, he is fine. Just having a great time, you like no issues. But he starts to get a little saucy, you're like, okay, let's get you a coffee. Where's the nearest Starbucks?
See, that's the mistake I make. I'm always trying to like skip meals and skip coffee and it brings out the worst in everyone. I'm always saying to people, like, do we really have to stop for lunch? Let's just push through. Let's go. And they're just looking at me like, oh, yeah, we actually do need to.
Yeah, I can testify to that.
All right, guys. Well, I mean, that's pretty much it. I really enjoyed doing this. We should definitely do this for more of the films. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Sorry about the technical issues in the beginning, but hey, if you're rewatching this, you won't even know that the technical issues exist because I'm going to chop out all that embarrassing beginning. But anything left you want to say, Pastor?
Yeah, just keep sharing the film, everybody at home. Be sure, if you haven't already, you know, be sure to hit like, add to favorites, leave a comment, share it on all your social media accounts.
Yeah, make sure you go over there and click thumbs up, click share. Here, it's BotswanaMovie.com, guys. BotswanaMovie.com. I'm going to post the link in the chat box there. Make sure you go there and support us. Shane, anything else you want to say, man?
No, just this was fun. I enjoyed this. The first time I've been able to do something like this. So,
well, we got to do this on what other film were you part of, Shane?
I don't think it was part of.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
we could do Beyond Jordan.
We could do Beyond Jordan. Yeah, we should do that one next because you're in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, this was cool. I enjoyed doing this and got to find out some stuff that I didn't even know. So that's cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rob, anything? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I love the movie, man. It turned out perfect, and I had a blast doing this. Had a ton of fun, and I just wanted to say to everyone out there, just support Paul in Framing the World so that he can continue making movies like this, and we can learn from, you know, all the Bible doctrine and all these adventures and stuff, and, you know, even go out and participate in some of these events that we do. So I think it's just great.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate that. Any final thoughts?
No, just kind of following up what Rob said. Yeah, like everyone loves these films and everyone loves the work that Paul does. And he puts all these videos out for free on YouTube. So if you want to keep these movies going, you want to still have, if you want to have these live streams, you want to keep doing this stuff, then, you know, go on the store, buy something off the store, get some soap, get some toothbrushes, you know, support them on Patreon. And we can keep this good work going.
You know, I'm a little hurt though that people did not say that Beyond Jordan was one of their favorite films. I love that film. What in the world is wrong with people?
These films are like your children.
They're like
man.
Little babies.
I get really touchy when people say, "Oh yeah, it wasn't my favorite."
How dare you?
No. This is the best. Oh, that was good. I really liked After the Tribulation. So, don't say that to me,
like
guys. Don't ever say that to me.
Right? You're just like, what? What does
okay,
that mean?
No, I'm just joking. Anyways, guys, make sure to go out and order Deported. Support us over there. You get a DVD and Blu-ray. And don't forget, Pastor Menace's wife's new book is out. And I'm excited. I haven't even looked through it yet, but I just got it. Yeah, illustrated by Pastor Menace. So I put the link in the chat there. And so make sure to get this. But I hope you guys like this live stream. We want to keep doing these live streams. So show us your support. And we want to do this as much as possible. And I just got to get this guy in here. That's a tall order. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you have a good night.
God bless everybody.
Take care.